KKPR Sports presents High School Football.
So first down and 10 for Elwood here. They'll spread the field this time. Send Hackbart way out to the left side. Man to the right side with Gittison, the only back. He wants to run quarterback keeper all the way around the left side. Got a good crackback block, 30, 35, and he's going to be pushed out of bounds just short of midfield and around the 38-yard line. Should be enough to move the chains again.
Tonight, it's a D2 Top 10 battle from Elwood as the Pirates welcome in the Kennesaw Blue Devils. High school football on KKPR is brought to you by the Klatskin Sports Club.
Get out of the eye, they want to throw. Schnitzer, he's got Woodman wide open, makes the catch and walks in. There was nobody within 10 yards. We talked about it at the beginning of this drive. When they do go to the air, they've got to make sure it works, and they did right there.
It's the final game of the regular season, and both teams have clinched a playoff spot. Tonight, the winner will take home a district crown and keep momentum heading into the postseason. It's the Blue Devils and Pirates coming up next. But first, the New Tech Seed pregame show. We'll join Klatskin Sports, Randy Bushkar and Brandon Vince right after this word from New Tech Seed.
New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 308-750-6060 or visit newtech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Elwood. As the Nebraska Land National Bank broadcast booth is on the road, the Pirates playing host to Kennesaw, a couple of schools that used to be in the same conference, have known each other over the years, and both of them are seen as a couple of the best teams in Class D2 football. Elwood is the number 3 overall offense in the state. Kennesaw is number 5 in terms of offense, so a lot of points expected to be scored tonight, and both of them are top 10 teams. According to the Omaha World Herald, Elwood is number 8 in the state, and Kennesaw number 4. Both of them come in at 6-1, and the District 7 championship game is this game here tonight. Whoever wins this game gets an automatic bid into the NSAA tournament with that district championship, and the loser will still make the playoffs and even has a chance to host a first-round game as the state tournament will begin next week. I'm Randy Bushkar. Thank you so much for joining us. And also with us, Brandon Bennett, who's helping us out with color tonight. And Brandon, we kind of talked about the offenses in this game. It really is, and obviously in any game, you outscore your opponent, you win. And that's really, you know, how this game's going to be. Whoever their offenses show up and do what they want to do offensively is probably going to come away with the victory.
It's not a great thing, Randy, for your first statement to be a oversimplified statement, but everything when you look at these two teams is so identical. Their records are identical. Who they've lost to even has very similar names. The amount of points they've scored is identical, except one team gives up 2 more touchdowns per game than the other team. So if one team can keep the other team out of the end zone twice, they're going to have a much better shot at winning because everything else about these two teams cancels each other out. They're that similar.
They do it a little bit different. Both of them are really run-first teams, but if their run with one schnitzler doesn't work for Kennesaw, they're going to run with the other schnitzler is what it boils down to. For Elwood, their running game is kind of centered around their quarterback. If that doesn't work, then the quarterback is going to throw the football.
One of the things that head coach for Elwood has talked about is his quarterback doesn't look like your stereotypical D2 quarterback, and he's right, because that quarterback has the option of throwing the football, which he does very well. Elwood is much more balanced than Kennesaw. Kennesaw comes into this game averaging only 40 passing yards per game, whereas Elwood comes in averaging over 200 passing yards per game. So Kenwood is going to be very one-dimensional, but that's their bread and butter. That's how they win ball games. Elwood wins ball games by being a little bit more even on the passing and on the rushing. We're going to see which of those two offenses shows up and wins the ball game tonight.
For Elwood, quarterback Zach Hackbart is rushing for about 78 yards a game and throwing for 163. So there's a big chunk of what they've been able to do on offense. Also rushing for Elwood is, that's where it's going to mostly be. But Billy Smith is averaging about 108 yards per game. Well, for Kennesaw, it is going to be the Schnitzlers, as Preston Schnitzler is averaging 132 yards a game, and his brother Austin Schnitzler is running for 152 yards a game and 21 touchdowns. Again, A lot of zone reads, a lot of options from Snitzler to Snitzler, and boy, there's a lot of football played in that in that household in Kennesaw.
And when your dad's the head coach, it's not something that you just hang your pads up and you go home. You go home and you talk about it and you process it and you think about it. When I was growing up, one of my best friends, his dad was the head football coach, and Lance just was football in that overall sense. And in this case, Austin and Preston, they are football. Their older brother 2 years ago was Tyler. Mm-hmm. He graduated. He was a phenomenal football player here at Kennesaw. So you're going to see an entire family produce yards out on the field. You're going to see an entire family produce tackles on the field. And you're going to see an entire family either celebrate or move on to the next round within the playoffs with a loss.
And speaking of family a little bit, football is family here at Elwood. About half of this team are seniors. It is senior night. It's a team that really kind of knows they're smart. They know where they're at. They also understand this is the season where they really want to make some hay, and they have an opportunity to win the district title, get a great seed for the state tournament, and do the things that they want to do. And we'll talk with the two head coaches to find out exactly what the game plans are. We'll finish up with Kevin Mahlberg of Elwood, but we'll start with Craig Snitzler from Kennesaw. We'll do that as we continue with the New Tech Seed pregame show. New Tech Seed, your yield leader. Contact Terry Jason Starker, New Tech Seed dealer near you. We'll take a quick break, and we'll talk with the two head coaches, starting with Coach Snitzler from Kennesaw. We come back right after this.
At Nebraska Land National Bank, we love local. Local people, local decisions, and local ownership. We want our community to grow and prosper. That's why we are focused on providing you with high-quality, personalized service at a competitive price to help you reach your financial goals. Nebraska Land National Bank is proud to call Kearney home and provide our community with the very best in banking. Member FDIC.
Nebraska Land National Bank.
Congratulations, you've won $1 million from Publishers Click.
Move out of the way. Is that a Valentino's delivery truck going down the street? I didn't know they delivered. Hey, guys, Valentino's delivers.
It's the next best thing to enjoying Valentino's famous Grand Italian Buffet. Now delivery of pizza, pasta, and salads. Just a call away, 308-233-3888. That's 233-3888. Better than $1 million? Depends on how hungry you are.
Hey, didn't you hear me?
Valentino's of Kearney now delivers.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits. Getting ready for a top 10 matchup on this final night of the regular season in Class D2 as the Kennesaw Blue Devils hit the road to take on Elwood. And we are joined by the head coach, Craig Snitzler, whose team has put together a heck of a nice run here with six consecutive wins after the opening night loss to Exeter Milligan. And, Coach, I want to start there because we got to see you the next 2 weeks with Lawrence Nelson and Overton, and you have been pounding everybody else kind of during that time and since that time. No one has been able to stop your boys running the football and your offensive line blocking for them there. But I think you guys got lost in the shuffle because I don't think everybody had Exeter Milligan at the time, the number one team in the class. And now that loss doesn't look nearly like what it was. And you go back to all the turnovers and such. How do you view that opening night now as the season has played out?
Well, I think, you know, we went into it. We had high hopes. You know, we thought we were expecting a good game, and we just did some things offensively. Like I said, we had three straight turnovers on our second, third, and fourth possessions, and just gave them opportunities, and they took advantage of them. And obviously, they're a great ball club. And then we made some defensive changes, and I think offensively, I felt we were pretty explosive against Exeter, but on the defensive side, we didn't do a very good job, and we made some changes, and the kids have really responded, and we've really played at a high level defensively to go with our offense.
Craig, a lot of people think you are one of the best teams in the state. Do you and your kids think you're one of the best teams in the state, semifinal Memorial Stadium type team?
Well, I think we're playing at that level. We've got the defense is playing well. The offense is moving the football, and then our special teams. I really think we're a complete team. Obviously, you know, on any given night you can be beaten, but I think we've got, you know, our special teams are good. We've got good dangerous return guys. We punt. We cover well on the punt, and our kickoffs, we get about 50-60% of them get into the end zone. And so I think overall we're a very good ball club, and we just got to continue to play that way and stay focused.
talking with Craig Schnitzler, the head football coach at Kennesaw. Are you afraid at all that you are too one-dimensional? I mean, if nobody can stop you, that's great. But you've only had to throw the ball 19 times, even against 4-3 teams the last 3 weeks. You're destroying them. Are you concerned at all as you head into this game and into the postseason?
Well, I don't know if we've been concerned. We can throw it. We just haven't had to. And we have a tremendous amount of confidence in that, in our front five. You know, we've gone for touchdowns on 3rd and 11 on a run play. We've gone for first downs on 3rd and 11, and they just do a tremendous job blocking up front. And we're power football first, but you know, I think we can throw the ball. We've got receivers. When we throw, it's pretty high percentage completions. But yeah, you know, certainly you got 7 games under your belt and you only got 19 pass attempts. You know, it's not a lot, but give credit to our front five for their job of blocking.
Craig, how do you stay fresh in some of those things that you don't have to do in the game? And it's probably not just throwing the football. You've probably got a lot of plays that you haven't had to run that maybe you will have to later on this season. Is that just a practice thing?
We do a lot. We work quite a bit on pass plays during practice. We throw in our spread formations, and we haven't even shown spread yet. And we got some things off of that, also some run plays with it. And we really haven't got into the playbook very deep, even in our running plays, because I'm kind of one of those old-fashioned coaches. If it's working, keep running it. And that's kind of what we did last week against Bertrand. We just kept coming after him with ISOs and traps, and we're able to get it done that way, and just didn't see a reason to show a whole lot and throw a whole lot of things at them because they were working.
We're talking with Kennesaw head coach Craig Schnitzler, battle of 6-1 teams tonight. You go to Elwood, and this is a team that is kind of similar to you. Nobody seems to be able to really stop them, and there's not a whole lot of surprise as to what they do, although they do have a quarterback in Hackbart that will put the ball up a little bit more. What do you see out of them?
Well, I see a team with a lot of experience, obviously coming back from last year, and they're explosive, especially on the offensive side. They can put it up in the air. I think he has, 14 or some amount of touchdown passes to go along with their running game. But they like to throw it around a little bit, but they want to play some power football as well.
It would seem, and at the 8-man game, when you don't have as many linemen that you have to rely on, that might be where this game comes down to. I mean, they score a ton of points, you score a ton of points. What do you got to do with the linemen to make it so special?
Well, up front, our guys are going to have to do a really good job of controlling line of scrimmage, and we've got to take the run away and try to make them just a passing team only, so the kind of where we can dictate what they're going to do. You know, if they have success running, that just makes their passing game even more dangerous.
And last minute here with Craig Schnitzler, head football coach at Kennesaw. We'll talk about it here with Coach Malberg in a moment, but you've got 2 6-1 teams, and somebody's going to get beat tonight and go in to the playoffs with kind of a sour taste. Does that concern you at all?
Oh, you know, I haven't really thought about it at this point. But obviously, you want to, you know, this is for the district title, so you know, you're thinking about that. You're talking about that with your kids, and you want to get into the playoffs with a win because it just brings confidence to you. But you know, a loss at this point, you just got to refocus, and it's a whole new season once you get to the playoffs, and so you got to get that mindset back in the kids if things don't go your well tonight.
And I'm guessing you guys aren't thinking about that probably one iota, so I'll wrap it up with this here. The benefit to having all these big victories is that a lot of these young kids, and we talked about all the freshmen that were on your roster, what do you think about the way these kids have played when the clock's running and you're trying to develop next year's team?
They've done a nice job. You know, they were getting a lot of reps throughout the season, and some of them may have even seen more time than some of our varsity kids. But, you know, that's something that we can build off of for next season, because we've got 12 freshmen out, and next year we're going to graduate 7 seniors, and then next year we're going to need younger kids to step up with our junior class, which we have a lot of confidence in. They've got a lot of playing time for them. And So, you know, it's been a good experience for them, and certainly is going to help them going into next season.
Well, this should be a good preview of what we will see later on down the road in the playoffs. So, Craig, should be a good deep run for you guys, and it could start tonight. Best of luck.
Well, thank you, Doug, and appreciate all your coverage.
The Kennesaw Blue Devils head football coach Craig Schnitzler joined us here on the New Tech Seed pregame show. We will be back and hear from Elwood's Kevin Malberg right after this on Classic Hits.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Oh, I can't believe it. Are you kidding me? Out here in the middle of nowhere, Mom and Bramps will kill me. What's that, girl? Call Kearney Towing and Repair? Because they'll get us home from anywhere? But I don't have their number. 308-236-9951. Thanks, girl.
24-hour towing.
Certified repair.
No matter why, no matter where.
308-236-9951.
Lock it in. Kearney Towing and Repair.
Welcome back to the New Tech Seed pregame show here on Classic Hits. Getting ready for kind of a playoff, deep in the playoffs preview. Got a great ball game on paper tonight between 2-6-1 teams as Elwood takes on Kennesaw. Used to be old conference foes, not anymore, but Kevin Malberg joins us here for the Pirates. And, Coach, this is a good one to get you prepared for the playoffs, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is, and it's kind of ironic, and it's a great way to end the football season. Now, whoever wins this game is going to be the district championship, which means automatic qualification to the playoffs. But, you know, win or lose, both teams, Kennesaw and ourselves, are going to be make the playoffs. And you know, one of us is going to be 7-1, one's going to be 6-2. And the team that's 6-2 is even going to get a home game. I'm pretty sure the first round will probably be a 6 or 7 seed. So there's a lot at stake tonight, and, you know, getting a higher seed would really help. But it's for a district championship, and Kennesaw's got an outstanding football team.
Coach, there's always positives and negatives. If you're playing a team that was 1-6 instead of 6-1, you say, well, we can hopefully take care of business and then maybe not get anybody hurt and rest and go into the playoffs. When you have 2 6-1 teams, somebody's going to lose this football game, and maybe it kind of changes the run that that team is on. So positives, negatives about playing a team as good as Kennesaw tonight?
The thing that I would say, Doug, on that is like if the last week or the week before that we played, and I don't want to run any teams out, but played a really quality team that was really a good football team, say a 5-0, 6-1 team at that time, then, you know, you might want to break. But I think this is going to be a good game for us in terms of it's going to be more physical. I guarantee it's not going to be no running clock the second half. In terms of our perspective, you know, because the last two games we did have that we played. So, you know, it's hard to say how hard your kids are trying in that term. But, you know, this is going to be one of those games where we're really going to have to play hard, and it's not going to do anything but help us, in my opinion, to get ready for the playoffs. And like I said, if the week before the week before that we played some quality team and we needed a rest or we had a bunch of kids that were injured, then, yes, a 1-16 would be wonderful to play. But I like it the way it's set up that, you know, Kennesaw is, I think, one of the top 5 teams in Class D2. And so I can only say that it's going to prepare us more for getting ready for the playoffs.
Talking with Elwood head football coach Kevin Malberg, who some people had retiring going into this year. But you didn't want to miss this, Coach. I mean, your football team is playing real well. But, heck, you haven't been home enough to recognize it in a quirky scheduling deal. You only play 3 home games, and this is one of them.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, we've been kind of road warriors. We played our 3rd game of the year at home, and then we played our 5th game of the year at home, and now we play this one at home, and we're one of the few schools that only gets 3 home games, and then switches next year. You know, but this is a year where we have 19 kids out and 10 are seniors, and I guess it doesn't matter how the state schedules it. You know, you got to play them whether it's on the road or whatever. But, you know, I will say one thing, that the 3 games that we had at home, our fans can't say that they didn't see quality football teams in Anselmo, Myrna, And Bertrand's got a really good football team, and they're going to see a really good one tonight against Kennesaw. So, you know, it ain't like they're getting gypped on seeing, you know, I forget how I want to put this, but our three home games are against top quality football teams. So it's not like they're not getting their money's worth. They're seeing really good football teams come to Elwood.
And let's talk a little bit about your team. Obviously, Zach Hackbart leads the way for you. He can throw it if he needs to, man. 61 out of 94. He's thrown for over 1,100. He's ran for about 625 yards. Talk about having a senior at quarterback. And he's not your typical eight-man quarterback. He's got a little frame on him.
Yeah, he's not your, you know, typical eight-man quarterback, about 5'9", 160 pounds or something like that. Zach's about 6'3", 210, somewhere in that area. I would say the biggest difference from last year to this year is his throwing ability in terms of hitting the open person and hitting receivers on their routes when they make their breaks. And he's really improved it. And like you said, he's big and he's tough to bring down. You know, against Bertrand, we ran probably him seven plays in a row when we were down by two touchdowns. And that's basically all we did was we were running him, and they had a hard time stopping him. He's hard to bring down. It's hard for one guy to bring him down. And, you know, but the offensive line has gotten better as the years progressed, and he has a good receiver. Werger, I think, is still one of the best D2 receivers there is. He's got great hands. He runs great routes, and it's his favorite receiver. I don't have the stats now, but I think he has like 16, 17 touchdowns on receptions out of 31 receptions. And Ulmer kid, you know, is kind of sneaky in there in terms of catching the ball. But our offensive line and Billy Smith, one of our backs, runs good patterns out of the backfield. So, we're, you know, Zach is basically the key to our offense, and he's very emotional, and he's a team leader big time too, so that helps also.
Talking here for another minute with the head coach at Elwood, Kevin Malberg. You talk about guys that handle the ball time after time after time. Kennesaw, there's not a whole lot of intrigue here. They're going to line up and they're going to run it with the Schnitzler boys, and then McChesney, when the games have been getting out of hand, has been getting some good yardage. No one's been able to stop the Schnitzler boys yet, even Exeter Milligan on opening night, their only loss. How do you match up, and what do you do when you know what's coming?
That's a good question. I don't know if anybody could really answer, Doug. You know, you get a scouting report from and watch film of everything, and you know, it's one of those situations where you can call the play out, this is coming, but you still have to stop it, you know. We've had that happen with us a lot of times when we line up in certain formations. They know Hackbart's going to get the ball, but, I mean, you still got to stop it. If you block it right, it's going to work. If you don't, you know, that's what's going to happen. We know that they're going to run unbalanced to the right quite a few times, snap it to Schnitzler in a shotgun, and they're going to run a sweep left. They're going to run in the I formation. They're going to run a isolation right or left. And sometimes last week, I guess they went to a seven-man line and just snapped to Schnitzler in the backfield, and he ran wherever he wanted to. So, it's not a guessing game in terms of they're going to pass here, they're going to throw a reverse here. You know, I think sometimes teams with a lot of talent may try to get too tricky and get out of what they can basically do, and Coach Schnitzler does a good job of just taking his players and just say, here we come, stop us, you know, and that's basically what it amounts to.
Well, Kevin, we'll look forward to a great football game between two top 10 teams tonight. As always, best of luck to the Pirates and best of luck in the playoffs.
Okay, thanks a lot, Doug.
That's Kevin Malberg, head coach of the Elwood Pirates. We will be back and take a look at the starting lineups on the New Tech Seed pregame show right after this.
Berg Insurance in Kennesaw has your crops, farm, home, and autos covered. See Berg Insurance Company in Kennesaw. They've been protecting this area for over 50 years in a relaxing and friendly environment. Berg Insurance is a very proud supporter of all the area high school sports and would like to wish the athletes the very best of luck. Berg Insurance in Kennesaw. Relax, we've got you covered.
Five Points Bank. We're proud our bankers have the ability to take care of customers in the Kearney area. One of our bank's true differences is our bankers have a true Kearney connection, important in providing the best in banking. Our staff is proud they've lived in Kearney for years. Many have been lifelong residents. Having a true Kearney connection means caring and being involved in the community and committed to making banking work for the people of Kearney. Bank with Five Points Bank, the better bank, the bank with a true Kearney connection. Good things will happen.
Welcome back here at Elmwood. Time now for our starting lineups, brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank in Kearney. Let's begin, first of all, for Kennesaw. And on the offensive line, Carson Woodman is a 220-pound junior. He'll start with Zach Edwards, a senior at 245. Red Johnson, great football name, Red Johnson, 200-pound junior, will start on the line. One of the tight ends will be Wyatt Woodman, a 197-pound senior. Also a tight end is Jake Brunk, a junior, 195 pounds. And in the backfield will be Austin Snitzler. He'll be the major running back. He is a senior, 192 pounds. His fullback will be Keaton Harpin, who is a junior, 180 pounds. And the quarterback is Preston Snitzler, a junior, at 175 pounds. For the Elwood Pirates at center, Caleb Wilson is a 185-pound senior. The guards are Sean Klaus, a 265-pound senior. Cole Remiga, also a senior, 170 pounds. He'll be the other guard. The ends are Skyler Werger, 170-pound junior. The ends, Delton Omer, 140 pounds and a senior. The back is Blake Teedy. He is 160 pounds and a senior. Billy Smith, the major running back, he'll carry the ball a lot. He's 150 pounds and a senior. And the quarterback is Zach Hackbart. Hackbart, 215 pounds and a senior. Again, your starting lineups brought to you by Five Points Bank, the better bank in Kearney. For Kennesaw, their leading rusher on the season, we mentioned it before, is Austin Snitzler. He's run for over 1,000 yards on the season with 1,067. He averages 152 yards a game, has 21 touchdowns. His brother, the quarterback, Preston Snitzler, is already run for 923 yards, probably will cross the 1,000-yard barrier tonight. He's averaging 132 yards per game and 14 touchdowns, and Preston also averages about 20 yards passing. They've only thrown the ball 19 times so far this season, so that's less than three throws per ball game. So obviously primarily a running attack here for Kennesaw. For Elwood, Zach Hackbart will be kind of the focus of the offense. He's run for 626 yards, 78 yards per game, also 13 touchdowns, and he also has thrown for over 1,000 yards. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll wrap things up right after this.
Find a car, new or used, at www.crossroads-ford.com. Spot an SUV, crossroads-ford.com. Lasso a truck, crossroads-ford.com. Check on financing, crossroads-ford.com. Calculate your payments, crossroads-ford.com. That's www.crossroads-ford.com. Crossroads-ford.com.
Crossroads Ford, Lincoln Burke.
Face it, it's hard to watch your second highest investment get the hell beat out of it, and you can't do anything about it. So when all hell breaks loose, call the Dent Popper, Kearney's only local paintless dent repair company since 1991. With paintless dent repair, not only does it cost less, involves no painting, and in most cases, it's done the same day, keeping the value of your car and saving you time. So when all hell breaks loose, call or stop by the Dent Popper for your free estimate, 2014 First Avenue on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
Golden Harvest brand offers some of the highest yielding corn hybrids of any seed company in this area, and they're protected by some of the most advanced trait technology in the industry. Take G11U58, for example, which has superb drought tolerance and Earflex, available in AgriSure Viptera or Easy Refuge, or 28U7 soybeans, which have outstanding yield performance across many environments. Talk to Brent Woodman in Kennesaw today. Brent and Sarah wish all of our athletes good luck. Always read and follow label instructions before buying or using Syngenta products.
And welcome back here. You've been listening to the New Tech Seed pregame show. New Tech Seed, your leader. Contact Terry or Jason Stark or a New Tech Seed dealer near you. We're still about a minute away from kicking this one off here between Elwood and Kennesaw, a battle of top 10 teams. And obviously it depends what rating system you look at. But the Omaha World Herald has Kennesaw number 4 in the state, Elwood number 8. Both of them are a couple of the top offenses in the state as well. 7 and 8 are their rankings. Kennesaw over Elwood, according to the Lincoln Journal Star as well. Randy Bushcutter, Brandon Bennett's with you. Glad you could join us. And Brandon, you kind of have kind of what these two teams need to do to be successful here tonight.
I always call it a weather report, Randy, not to do with atmospheric conditions, although it is a gorgeous night for football, but whether or not one team can impose its will on the other. Number one, Elwood has 10 players on their roster that are seniors out of 20. So this is their last home game in their regular season career, whether or not that's going to be a good thing or bad thing for them. Kennesaw, we've talked about before, is going to run the ball, pass very little, if at all. Will that one-dimensionality hurt or help them? And Elwood's defense has given up, on average, 14 more points per game than Kennesaw. Can Elwood's defense slow down Kennesaw just enough to be successful?
Delton Omer will kick things off here for Elwood. So Kennesaw will have the ball first. It's a relatively short kick, and it is going to go out of bounds at about the 26-yard line. They'll to have some options here on the penalty, but it'll be pretty good field position here for Kennesaw to get things going. And as we mentioned before, it's going to be Snitzler on the zone read, the quick option pitch, you know, all that stuff. They're going to make Omer kick it off here again, as they'll back him up now to the 30-yard line with the illegal procedure penalty. And we'll see whether or not – check, it won't be the 30. It'll be about, yeah, it's a 10-yard from there, so it'll be from the 25-yard line. So they're going to re-kick it. And so I think they're hoping that maybe they'll either get a return or maybe he'll kick it out of bounds again.
Given the amount of people that Kennesaw has back, and especially the individuals that they have back, Kennesaw thinks that once you get the ball in their hands in space, they're going to have a more successful shot at it than just trying to spot the ball, go from there.
Beautiful night for football, and the kickoff this time is going to go right down the middle of the field, and it's going to be skipping away from Austin Snitzler. Snitzler picks it up near the goal line. He makes one man miss, gets that sideline, not the sideline, rather, but found a little open area and is able to push a couple of Pirates out of the way, and we'll get the ball out to about the 20-yard line. Considering where that kickoff came from, it was nearly a touchback.
And it was a great job by Austin Snitzler showing his athleticism, because he picked it up facing his own goal line, turned around, made a move, and was able to get the best out of that situation.
So it'll be first and 10 from exactly the 20-yard line here for Kennesaw. And, again, they like to run the football. They have a couple of brothers that will be 1,000-yard rushers more than likely by the end of the night. They'll start out of the I formation. They'll hand the ball off to the older brother, Austin. And Austin Snitzler comes up and is going to have a nice gain of 8. Nothing fancy about it, just following that guard on that right side. They're running between the two tight ends.
If you're the offensive coordinator, it's the easiest offensive playbook in the world. Snitzler run right. Snitzler run left. Snitzler run up the middle. That's exactly what we're going to see tonight. They started off with it, gain of 8. On a first down.
And Harpum will be a nice little lead blocker. They'll hand the ball off to him occasionally. He'll be the fullback here between the two Snitzlers. Bad snap, and falling on it is going to be Preston. Preston's actually going to lose a little bit of ground there. And there was pretty good line search and nearly jumping on the football. Getting there a little late, though, with Zach Hackbart. And Hackbart's going to do a lot of things on both sides of the ball.
Elwood has a lot of athletes on both sides of the ball. And as you said, the starting quarterback in a lot of systems doesn't always play defensive end, but in this case, he's that good of an athlete. He's that big. He's that talented. He deserves to be there.
About 6'3". They have him listed at 215 pounds. I would say he's at least 6'3". And just, we mentioned it earlier, he looks like a football player, and we've got a timeout here. Kennesaw not liking how things are getting set up, so they call the timeout. This timeout brought to you by Nebraska Land National Bank. Take timeout to find out what Nebraska Land National Bank can do for you. Local people, local decisions, local ownership. Nebraska Land National Bank, member FDIC. 10:47 to go. First drive of the ball game here early on for Kennesaw. They're forced to call the timeout, facing 3rd and 3, and we'll take a timeout with them. We're back after this.
The 3Ls of PlatteRiverPreps.com. Log on for info on all your favorite teams with links to articles organized by school and sport. Listen to any of the radio broadcasts on our 5 Platte River radio stations and download podcasts to past events. And like us on Facebook to get select pictures and breaking news of high school sports going on. Platte River Preps, your one-stop source for high school sporting news, covering over 100 teams across the state of Nebraska. Go to PlatteRiverPreps.com.
It is 3rd and 3 here. Welcome back to the Nebraska Land National Bank broadcast booth. And out of the shotgun is going to be Preston Snitzler. He's going to have two running backs off of either one of his shoulders, and he's going to keep it himself right up the middle, and he's going to be hit right at the line of scrimmage, maybe gained a yard. He needed 3 on 3rd and 3, and it's going to be 4th and a – well, I mean, he got a little bit more than I thought there, maybe less than a yard to go here.
Randy, if you're an Elwood Pirates fan, you've got to be very encouraged by what you see, because as you heard in the pregame interview, the Kennesaw head coach often goes for it on 3rd and 11, 4th and 11, and gets it. In this case, they only got 2 yards on 3rd down, brings up 4th down. That's a small win for Elwood.
And this is going to be a go-for-it situation here on 4th and 1 from the 20. 7-yard line. And off tackle, they're going to get it as they hand the ball off to Austin Snitzler. Off tackle, the wrong phrase from watching too many 11-man games this year. It's really just kind of off guard. And they kind of ran right over where the tight end was on that right side. And it's going to be a nice little gain of about 6 yards.
That was exactly the same play that they ran on the very first play of the game, where they go when they gained those 8 yards of offense on the first time. In this case, they gained about 6 yards, the exact same play. Similar result. We're going to see Kennesaw do more of that as the game goes on.
So they go for it on fourth down and keep their initial drive alive. Still no score here, as this is the first drive of the game for either team. Fake the handoff to Snitzler. Tucking in is going to be Preston. Preston with a little bootleg on that left side. He's going to end up getting about three. That naked bootleg, pretty well diagnosed for Elwood, but he was able to tuck it inside from that linebacker coming from his left.
Credit the Elwood defensive line in that, because as good as Austin Snitzler is, many times you would see a team overload that side. They're going to over-pursue and try and cut him off and not allow him to go back. By keeping their stunts and keeping their positions, Elwood kept that gain to a gain of four.
Again, they'll go out of that I formation, two tight ends. Snitzler will hand it off to his bigger brother, Austin. Austin will bounce to the outside a little bit, and there's not a lot of room there. The Pirates, quick enough, they diagnose it, and that's only going to be a gain of about one for Austin Snitzler, and it's going to be third and about five and a half.
That was, again, good line play, good line surge by the Elwood Pirates. What they saw it early, they diagnosed it. It's essentially the same play we've talked about, Kennesaw running earlier to the right side, only this time Kennesaw ran it to the left. Elwood was ready for it.
Preston Snitzler gets some advice and the play from his head coach Craig, who also happens to be his father.
Yep.
So you
they'll have conversations at the breakfast table.
You got two reasons to follow this play. He's under center with two tight ends, I formation, handed off. No, he fakes the handoff. He's going to follow Harpum right up the middle. He's going to gain about 2.5 yards, and it's going to be fourth and about two.
Nice little inside play that he had to bounce to the outside because of the pressure that Elwood was getting up the middle. And so on a third down and short, it makes it a fourth down and a little bit shorter. But again, Elwood's defensive line is beginning to show itself very well in this first series.
Love playing football this time of the year, especially when we have the great weather we have right now. You know, the field is in great shape. It's still very, very green, very calm. And two more yards of that turf is what Kennesaw needs to keep this drive alive. And we've got a flag down. Kennesaw took too much time in the huddle, and it'll be a 5-yard penalty. And that'll back him up on the other side of the midfield stripe. And so it's going to be third and about seven now from the 39-yard line. And I don't know if that's going to change their mind, whether or not they go for it or not, but it's going to be that 5-yard penalty certainly will change what they call.
Randy, you mentioned earlier about the actual atmospheric conditions that we didn't want to talk about earlier. The very first words out of head coach Craig Snitzler's mouth tonight to me was, it's a great night for football. I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely. Beautiful night. Short of the 39, they are going to go for it. And running with it is Preston Snitzler. Snitzler on that left side is not going to get there as he's forced out of bounds. Leading the tackle is going to be Cole Remiga. Remiga shut him off. I don't know if he's going to get credit for the tackle, but certainly if he was able to get his way past that to end on that side, Remiga was right there. They didn't even get close to getting that first down.
That is a huge opening drive win for Elwood. And especially, it's one of those little things that's not going to show up on a stat sheet. Kennesaw was running a sweep to their left that pushed the runner out of bounds right into the Elwood sideline. So Elwood, as they made the tackle, heard a little extra cheer from their home crowd.
So near midfield, they have the ball at about the 37-yard line, and stepping in under center is going to be Hackbart, and Hackbart's just going to hand it off. And there's really no room there at all for Blake Teedy.
He got about a yard, maybe half a yard in that process. And again, here we see Kennesaw's defensive line beginning to assert itself because they had a great line surge there. He had nowhere to go but down.
So he got about 1 yard, and that is it. 62 degrees, beautiful night for football. Tonight's field conditions brought to you by your Pioneer Seed representative, Craig Weegis. Pioneer knows more about field conditions with top-yielding Pioneer brand soybeans with Craig Weegis, your Pioneer Seed dealer, science with service, delivering success. Hackbart will run the crossbuck, and there's just no room to run at all for Billy Smith. And Smith, I don't think, got back to the line of scrimmage.
Austin Snitzler is not only an incredible running back, but he came up from his linebacker spot and met the running back on the running back side of the ball. So Austin Snitzler is showing how fast he is, not just with the ball in his hands, but pursuing to the ball flowing to the ball and making a great form tackle. And if he didn't make that tackle, there's nobody there.
Yeah, well, Zach Edwards had a nice little read on that as well from his defensive line position. So it's going to be third and a good solid 10, maybe even 10 and a half yards here as Smith lost a little ground. Shotgun formation for Hackbart. Hackbart is going to throw the ball up high into the night. Has a man there, and the diving attempt is off the fingertips of Skylar Werger, and it falls incomplete. They would have been inside the five-yard line if Werger could have made that circus catch.
Werger had that ball. Unfortunately, I think he lost it maybe a little bit in the lights because it was a deep post route. And as he made his break, he stutter-stepped a little bit, realized he was open, then realized how further he had to go to get the ball, and he just missed the ball.
Billy Smith in punt formation. The Snitzler brothers back waiting to receive it. It is a high kick, and they're just going to kick it into the end zone, I believe. Yeah. It hit right at the goal line and went through the end zone. And you know what? For Elwood, that's going to be okay because you don't necessarily want either Preston or Austin to have that ball in open space.
Any way that you can avoid kicking to anybody named Snitzler is a win for Elwood tonight.
So that'll set them up after the touchback at the 15-yard line. So it'll be first and 10 from the 15 here for Kennesaw, who had some success, went for it on one fourth down, did not get it on their other fourth down attempt. And we're inside at 6 minutes to go, first quarter. Both teams now have gone through one series, neither one getting any points on the board. Hand off to Austin Snitzler. Snitzler bounces to the outside and into the welcome hands of Billy Smith. But Billy Smith kind of got there a little late. Snitzler had a little angle there, and that's going to be a nice little gain of about seven.
Also on the tackle there was number three, Delton Ulmer, and he did a great job of breaking down because that's a play, again, we've seen Kennesaw run before. Again, Snitzler run right, run left, run up the middle. We've seen him run that time only the first series. They didn't do so well. That series, he broke a tackle, did Snitzler, and 9 yard gain.
I formation. They're going to hand the ball up to the fullback, Harpum. And there's not much room there for Harpum, but you unstack it, and they gain about a yard, maybe about a yard and a half, and they're going to need one more yard here on third down.
Brings up third down and an interesting opportunity here for Kennesaw, really, to empty out the playbook because, yes, they're not going to pass that often. But if you ever were going to pass, it's going to be with one or more downs left with very short yardage to go. So they're probably not going to pass, but if you would, this would be a great opportunity.
Well, they do it less than three times a game, so go ahead and guess. Off that left side, little room there. Quick little hitter for Austin Snitzler, and Snitzler is going to be short of the 30-yard line, but that's still going to be a nice gain of about 8 yards and first and 10 for Kennesaw.
He hits that hole so quickly, Randy. There is no
–
well, I would say north-south running, but this field runs east-west. It is entirely east-west running for Austin Snitzler. He hits that hole so quick and got the first down.
So the ball is right on the 30-yard line. I formation again. They fake the handoff. Here's your pass by Preston Snitzler. He's looking. They'll throw it in underneath. Going to be caught by Harpum. Harpum down that sideline is going to be knocked out of bounds. Nice play there by Caleb Wilson. Otherwise, we might be lining up for an extra point right now.
That was a great-looking pass because he was rolling to his left, and as a right-handed quarterback, you're throwing it across your body. In that case, it was a great throw in rhythm, hit his receiver in stride. First down, and Kennesaw's got something going on this drive.
Well, that is the first catch of the season here for Keaton Harpum. But, again, there's only been a handful of passes attempted, let alone completed.
We're up to 20
passes, yeah. 14 of them been caught, so the percentage is pretty good. Shotgun formation. Preston is going to keep it himself. His big brother will lead the way. He breaks to the outside, has an angle, and has the sideline. Touchdown. A 38-yard run down that left side.
That was just Preston Snitzler being Preston Snitzler. He had a fake on the inside, and once he got to the outside, he had one man to beat, had a chance to get him at about the 7-8 yard line, couldn't do it. Touchdown, Blue Devils.
And Billy Smith was trying to pursue it, did not have a great angle, and coming up slowly is Keaton Harpum. Harpum was injured on the play, but now he's coming up, so I think he just kind of had maybe the wind knocked out of him. He bounces right up and gets to the sideline. This injury report brought to you by Family Physical Therapy. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back to the game of life with two locations in Kearney. So Kennesaw gets first blood here. They lead it 6-0, and no, they're going to say that he stepped out of bounds. That was kind of a late whistle. He's down to the 9, so that was only a 29-yard gain. I'll have to make a note of that. And they're going to hand the ball off to Austin Snitzler. Snitzler gets back to line of scrimmage, and that's going to be about it. And after planting him on the turf, Delton Ulmer will help him off the ground.
That is at least the fourth time we've seen Kennesaw run that play. So it's the old fool me once, fool me twice. Well, in this case, fool me a fourth time, you're probably not going to have much success.
Well, I want to tip my hat back to Billy Smith a little bit. He did not have a great angle, but had enough speed that he was able to get just enough of Snitzler to make this not a touchdown.
And I had said it was about the 7-8 yard line. He was able to make Smith miss, and in this case, evidently he did. I just didn't catch it.
It was at the 9, maybe when he was making his move around him. Pitched it to Snitzler, so Austin has it, tries to get that outside, and he does not. Nice job of extending the play on that pitch to the outside. And again, Caleb Wilson leads the way.
Caleb Wilson did a nice job there of pushing that to the sideline, and then the rest of the defense flowed to that side. And again, we're seeing Elwood do something now they weren't doing earlier. They're starting to over-pursue a little bit. Wonder if Kennesaw is going to pick up on that.
So Harpum checks back into the game. He took a couple plays off after just getting hit in the stomach there, and he's going to be one of the two running backs on either side of Preston Snitzler. So Harpum and Austin were there and looking to throw here is going to be Preston. Preston scrambles, throws into the end zone, and it is incomplete. Goes off the hands of the big brother, and it falls incomplete. Austin Snitzler well covered, but that was an extremely nice pass by Preston.
It was a great pass, and it was also a great catch attempt because Austin Snitzler is going to kick himself in the morning just like he's kicking himself right now. After that ball hit him in the hands and he dropped it, he went about the back of the end zone, put his hands on top of his head, bent over, said something, and then walked back to the huddle now, or I should say trudged back to the huddle. He knows he dropped the ball.
Inside of 3 minutes to go here, 4th and 9 in the first quarter, still no score. And here comes a field goal attempt. It's going to be Austin Snitzler, and we've got a flag down. It would have been a 25-yard field goal attempt, and we have an illegal substitution that's going to be whistled against Kennesaw.
And this 25-yard now going to be a 35, excuse me, a 30-yard field goal attempt is exactly where Austin was hitting it in the pregame. He missed his first two kicks. He made his next four. So if you count what he was doing pregame, Snitzler's on a little bit of a roll here, and he the back of the little grassy area here behind the goalpost.
Straight on kicker. It is a high kick, and I mean high. It comes down, and it is just short. He had the angle, but it ends up being just short. So that 5-yard penalty takes 3 points off the board, essentially.
That is the difference between kicking in pregame and kicking during the game, because in pregame, as I said, Snitzler was making those kicks out the back of the grassy area. He was absolutely booming those, and when he didn't plant just right, his left leg wasn't secure, he slipped a little bit on the turf, and he didn't get a good clean swing at that, and no points.
And you kind of mentioned the small little slip comes a little bit when it cools down a little bit, you get just a little bit of dew out there because it's somewhat humid, and it was just enough, nothing terrible, but just enough. And so he's about a yard short on a 30-yard field goal attempt. So here comes Elwood. Their defense holds. This will be their second possession. Still no score between a couple of the best offenses in the state. Eckbart is going to take the snap, roll to his right, has that right sideline, and nearly was able to break free. He's going to end up getting a first down here, a gain of about 11, but he was a stride away from a touchdown.
When Elwood goes back and watches the game film of this particular game, they're going to look at that run by Hackbart because he shuffle step down the end of the line, found his hole after he was able to get around it and accelerated for the game.
So 2:37 to go here, quarter number one, still no score between Kennesaw and Elwood. Kennesaw has had the better of it a little bit, better field position,
more
had
yards.
It first and goal, and missed a long field goal attempt. Snap out to Hackbart. Hackbart had us a couple of lead blockers. He's going to get to the line of scrimmage and gained about a yard and a half, and that's about it. And I'll tell you what, anywhere that Zach Hackbart goes, he's got a lot of followers wearing blue jerseys.
Yes, he does, and that was a great – it was another one of those great – films that when they go and they watch this film, they're going to watch his feet position and his feet movement on that, because the whole time he was chop step, and he actually hurdled one of his own men and fell forward for that 3-yard gain.
So it'll be second, we'll call it 7 here. Shotgun formation for Hackbart. A couple of running backs on either side. Now they're their lead blockers for him as he tries to get to the outside. Makes one man miss, cuts back in, but there was a lot of line surge there for the Kennesaw defense. So he breaks through the line, but that line was pushed back, and he only makes it back to the original line of scrimmage.
One of the defensive linemen for Kennesaw this year has been number 57, Zach Edwards. And he's beginning to get some looks from colleges. I was talking with the head coach, Craig Snitzler, before the game, and Zach's been on some recruiting visits. So it's entirely possible that you'll see Zach playing on Saturday, and he made a Saturday-type move here on a Thursday night.
And we have seen – we've called his name quite a bit here so far in this football game. We'll call it third and about eight, and now a man in motion. That's going to be Smith. Hackbart rolls to his left, throws it in underneath off the fingertips of his intended receiver, Skyler Werger, and it is incomplete.
Skyler Werger is an incredible athlete. He averaged over 20 points per game in basketball last year and was a state qualifier in the long jump. Had he been maybe a state qualifier in the high jump, he could have been able to extend a little bit and grab that play. As it is, falls incomplete, brings up third down.
And there is a flag down. It is going to be a hold on Elwood. They are going to decline that penalty and make it fourth and eight from the 28. With a minute one to go here in the first quarter. So, again, Elwood is going to have to give the football back to Kennesaw. And, again, a nice booming punt by Billy Smith last time. Getting it through the end zone. I don't think he can punt it from there to get in the end zone. Gets the snap, a little bit of pressure, wobbly kick. It's going to hit the turf at about the 20-yard line and go out of bounds. We'll see exactly where they spot it. And they throw down the marker, I believe. Right where it hit. So they're going to mark it at the 21. And again, they're kicking it away so they don't get the return.
That was different, again, than what we saw in pregame, because in the pregame, Smith was absolutely booming those punts. Well, in this case, you don't want to boom the punt. You want to angle the punt to keep it out of any hand with a Snitzler on the jersey.
And you mentioned Zach Edwards. I think he's the guy that came up the middle and was able to make him rush it maybe a little bit more than he wanted to. In any event, it'll be at the 20, we'll call it 22-yard line, and Snitzler will kind of spin, come right up the middle. Preston has it, breaks through the middle, bounces to the outside. Only one man left, and Werger is going to try to arm wrestle him and get him out of bounds, and does at about the 16-yard line.
That was the speed there of Skyler Werger, because he came from the other side of the field to cut him off. And in order to make that play and push him out of bounds, he had to take the right angle. In this case, he took the right angle, but it was so far down, it's going to be a big gain for Kennesaw.
About a 42-yarder on that play. So it'll be about the 16-yard line. So it'll be first and 10 from the 16, as we have about 37 seconds to go before the end of the first quarter. Still no score between Kennesaw and Elwood. Well, we have a score. It's just 0-0. Under center, going to be Preston Snitzler. I formation behind him, two tight ends. Hands it off to Austin. Austin on that left side, right up the middle, little stiff arm, and he's going to have near enough for a first down. Skyler Werger on the tackle. It depends on the spot whether or not it's first and goal. And he gained about 10.5 yards, so it will be first and goal here for Kennesaw.
Austin Snitzler was moving to his left at an angle the whole time until, as you said, Randy, he extended that arm, gave the stiff arm, and then immediately cut to his right, found another 5 to 7 yards after that initial first contact.
They're just outside the 5-yard line. Will be first and goal. This is probably the last play of the first quarter, and it's going to be handed off to Snitzler. Snitzler, a little stiff arm, bounces to the outside, lunges toward the end zone, and is in for the touchdown. Just kind of shading away from a couple of guys on that perimeter, and a 5-yard touchdown here for Austin Snitzler. First points on the board for either team.
And for the Pirates, they had the pursuit angle. They had one guy in his face, and they had another guy coming on a pursuit angle. Austin Snitzler just outran everybody to the sideline and was able to get into the end zone.
Well, that will not be the final play of the first quarter because it stops the clock with 15 seconds, and their first score of the ball game, 6-0 here for Kennesaw. They'll go for two. And just to the right of Preston Snitzler is going to be Harpum. And Snitzler's going to keep it. Harpum's going to lead the way. An extra effort inside. Touchdown or two-point conversion for Kennesaw. As, again, he was stopped initially short, but was able to kind of lean in for the two-point conversion.
Well, Randy, at the end of the quarter, we're coming up to 8-0 in favor of Kennesaw. But again, if you're Elwood, that's a win because Kennesaw is averaging 24.3 points in the first quarter. So to hold a team to one-third of its initial point total in the first quarter, that's a win for Elwood. Unfortunately for Elwood, they don't have any points, and they're averaging almost 20 a game themselves.
So it is 8-0, and Kennesaw will be kicking off to the Elwood Pirates with an 8-0 lead. We'll be back right after this timeout.
No, Mom, it's Josh's turn. I had to take it out the last time. Trash just isn't something people like to deal with. But at Ravenna Sanitation, we take trash seriously and are here to be your trash collection connection. If you need trash removal from your home, business, or farm, Ravenna Sanitation is ready to meet your needs. Ravenna Sanitation, serving all of Buffalo County, is the quality, dependable trash hauling service you've been looking for. Find Ravenna Sanitation in the Pleasanton or Ravenna phone book.
Welcome back to the Nebraska Land National Bank broadcast booth. Local people, local decisions, local ownership. Nebraska Land National Bank member, FDIC. It's Kennesaw with an 8-0 lead, and Snitzler will be doing the kicking off here. So Austin Snitzler will step up and kick it off from the 30-yard line. High kick, and at about the 3, coming right up the middle here, is going to be Delton Ulmer. And Ulmer makes one man miss, kind of bounced off a little bit, and then kind of pinballed his way up across the 25-yard line. That's a nice little return.
That was an excellent return there. And, again, any time you're going to see two high-scoring offenses, which we are, field position becomes even more important. In that case, it was a great return.
So, nice starting position here. And, again, Elwood looking to complete their first pass of the night. I wouldn't have thought in the first quarter that Kennesaw would have more pass completions than Elwood. Although both of these two teams are run-oriented. They want to start with the running game. Talking to both coaches before the game, both of them said the same thing, that they want to shut down the other team's running game first.
It's football 101, Randy. Any time that another team can shut down the running game of the other, that gives them a big advantage in the game.
Under center is going to be Hackberg. And he'll hand it off to his tailback, Billy Smith. Billy Smith bounces to the outside, has the sideline, has a lead blocker and screen just enough that he's going to take it all the way for the touchdown.
What a great play to make on the final play of the first quarter. We talked about it earlier how neither one of these teams were scoring anywhere nearly close to their scoring average for the first quarter. Kennesaw got a touchdown we thought was going to be late, and Elwood one-upped him by getting a touchdown later.
We'll call that a 52-yard run down that right sideline, and Blake Teedy with a lead block on that far sideline, erasing the last Blue Devil that stood between Billy Smith and the end zone. He's able to take it in. It's now 8-6, and now Elwood will go for two and try to tie things up here. And again, with a couple of great teams, little things are going to make the difference. Conversions, you know, it's early on, but it could be the story of the game. Little fake pitch rolling out as Hackbart. He's going to throw it in underneath. Caught by Werger. Two-point conversion is good, and we have played one quarter of football. The last two plays from scrimmage have resulted in touchdowns. Both teams have gotten the two-point conversion, so we'll head to the second quarter. Tied 8-8. Elwood and Kennesaw. We'll be back here in Elwood right after this timeout.
The Kennesaw Market is an Affiliated Foods Midwest store. The Kennesaw Market is your hometown grocer, stocking SureFine and SureFresh products. The Kennesaw Market also has a dining area serving daily lunch specials, dine-in or carry-out. The Kennesaw Market is open from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, and 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Sundays. They appreciate your business at the Kennesaw Market, 210 North Smith Avenue in Kennesaw. The Kennesaw Market is a proud supporter of all the Kennesaw athletes, teams, and coaches.
The game is more fun to watch with Fanatics. Fanatics Sports Bar in Kearney, that is, and now there's even more Fanatics to love. The new addition nearly doubles the room inside, and the bullpen combines the great outdoors with great seats to the game. Follow the Huskers and your other favorite teams on over 30 high-def TVs, including two huge HD projection screens. Treat yourself to a wide variety of appetizers, sandwiches, pizza, wings, burgers, and even a kids menu that will make you stand up and cheer. Football is more fun with Fanatics. Fanatics, a block north of the tracks on Central Avenue in Kearney.
Well, the two Snitzlers awaiting the kickoff here from Delton Ulmer. Welcome back to the Nebraska Land National Bank broadcast booth here in Elwood. Pirates getting on the board and really kicking that offense in high gear. They had one other first down, but had slowed down a little bit compared to what Kennesaw been able to do. The kickoff by Ulmer is going to go out of bounds. It went off of his foot. And again, they want to kick it away from the Snitzlers, but they don't want to kick the ball out of bounds at about the 25-yard line.
That's exactly what I was getting ready to say, Randy, is you want to be cautious, but you can't be overcautious, because if you kick the ball out of bounds, you automatically give Kennesaw good field position, whereas before you give them a chance at good field position. Now when you spot the ball at the 28-yard line, you you give Kennesaw a great field position, and they don't need a short field to score points.
They're going to decline the penalty and get the ball. They're going to say it went out of bounds at about the 28, so it's even a little bit better than what we thought. So Kennesaw will have the ball first and 10 from their own 28-yard line. Snitzer under center. Preston's going to pitch it out to Austin. Austin has a lead blocker and then is going to be stopped, and then Elwood's going to clean it up. That last hit coming from Zach Hackbart might have done a little residual damage to Austin Snitzler. He was stood up there. I think he was stood up originally by Caleb Wilson.
He was, and it was interesting that Snitzler carried the ball in the inside hand, and usually you want to have the ball in the outside hand. So it looked like just as he got to the line of scrimmage, Elwood was keying on the ball, not so much the tackler. Or, I'm sorry, the ball carrier.
Nose of the football was on the 30-yard line, second and eight. And they'll hand the ball off to Snitzler. Austin will follow his lead blocker, Harpum. It breaks through one tackle and slipped through there just momentarily and got awfully close to getting first down yardage. Staying with the play was Sean Klaus, as Klaus actually came from the backside and made the tackle after Snitzler was able to slip away there momentarily.
Randy, you said it on the last play where Hackbart came in and did a little cleanup work for Kennesaw. After this play, there were two Kennesaw players still doing cleanup work on Elwood and pushing them back even after the whistle had blown. We're going to see how that matriculates itself as the game goes on.
About a yard and a half, we'll call it 2 yards on third down here. Snitzler has two running backs on either one of his shoulders. He's going to keep it himself, pushes Harpum through the hole, then bounces to the outside, runs through one tackle, has the sideline, and he's going to take it to the house, a 48-yard run on third and short for Snitzler. Preston Snitzler literally pushed Kenton Harpum to take away the last maroon jersey in his way.
And football fans, Randy is not making that up. He literally pushed his blocker out of the way to the left a little bit. Snitzler went to the right, found a seam, found the sideline, and outran two defenders to the end zone.
So 10:34 to go, second quarter, 14-8. Kennesaw with the lead. They, again, will go for two. Again, they'll have two tight ends, and again, they go out of the I formation. Preston Snitzler hands the ball off to Austin. Austin right up the middle. Pushes his way in, ended up being turned around, but got in. The two side judges call it a two-point conversion. Elwood begs to differ, but the two is on the board, and it's now 16-8. A couple of touchdowns, the last two drives for Kennesaw, and they now have an 8-point lead with 10:34 to go in the second quarter. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back in Elwood right after this.
He's at the 30, 20, 10, touchdown, the home team wins.
When you're looking for someone to throw you a winning touchdown, contact your hometown team, the Kroll Agency for Protection, written through IMT or Wadena Insurance. They'll help you customize an insurance plan for you. Call the Kroll Agency in Minden, Kennesaw, Hastings, and Roseland. The IMT Group and you, a team that can't be beat.
Well, 16-0 lead. Excuse me, 16-8 lead here for Elwood as the offenses have really kind of kicked it in. The defenses really own most of the first half, the first quarter rather. Second quarter, it's been a nice. Well, actually, both teams scored late, and I mean very late in the end of the first quarter. First drive of the second quarter here for Kennesaw, they go right up the middle. So the offense is now in high gear, and it's 16-8. Elwood down by eight, but we'll get the ball here from Kennesaw.
If you like a scoring matchup, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to enjoy the next two quarters and a half a little bit more because it's going to be Katie bar the door for the rest of the game.
The kickoff is going to be a short one, and I think it's going to roll out of bounds at about the short of the 20-yard line.
That's respect both ways, Randy, because now we've seen more kickoffs go out of bounds than they have stay in bounds for a receiver to bring them back. So what we're seeing is both teams respecting each other's athletes and not wanting to give them any shot of bringing a ball back.
And it's about the 25-yard line. That's where, with the kick going out of bounds, they talk about their options, and it'll be first and 10 for Elwood from the 25-yard line. And we'll see whether or not the Pirates can do what they did the last time Kennesaw scored, and that was go right down the field and get a touchdown of their own. We've had a couple of big runs here for both teams. Billy Smith, last time he touched the football, went 52 yards. This time Hackberg's going to drop back. He's going to throw the ball deep, and it's going to be just a little bit bit too far for a diving Delton Omer as it falls incomplete at about the 28-yard line. Elwood yet to complete a pass, but they've thrown some nice balls, and they've only been about a yard away on every single one of their throws.
That was almost the exact same play from the other side of the field. The first play that they missed was a post. This one was a flag. And in this case, he just missed it because he just wasn't quite set right before he threw the ball.
So it'll be second and 10 after the incompletion. Stops the clock with 10:29 to go here in quarter number one. We'll check some scores for you here coming up in just a little bit. Not a lot of local action, but we'll check it for you. Hackbart's going to keep the ball as he just kind of has a bootleg out to that left side. He's going to gain about five, make it six as he's pushed out of bounds on that far side. And it's a bootleg, but certainly not a naked bootleg. They had some guys out there leading the way for him.
It's not. He's got a couple of blockers out there in front of him. Again, he's doing that shuffle step where he's pitter-pattering his feet, but he's not doing it just laterally. He's moving forward. So every time he steps, he's gaining yardage in addition to gaining himself an angle to try and score.
Hackbart averages 78 yards per game on the ground. Billy Smith over 100. Hackbart's going to keep it this time. Has that sideline. Has a lead blocker. And a nice block there by Billy Smith to help him gain a few extra yards. And they're across midfield. And that's going to be a gain of about 18. Yeah, it'll be first and 10 after a gain of 18 for Hackbart.
Randy, there was no pitter-patter of feet there. It was grab the ball and find an angle. Take that angle once you found it. Get to the sideline. And big gain there for Elwood. Now we're seeing, after the first 10 and a half minutes where the defenses were asserting themselves, now again, like I said, it's Katie bar the door. We're going to see each of these offenses begin to pile up yardage, and points are going to come with.
Well, the offenses on both teams have the momentum right now. I formation, hand off to the tailback. That's going to be Smith. Smith this time, though, we talked about the offenses. That was a nice defensive play for Kennesaw as Isaiah McChesney makes the tackle. But there is a flag on the play right at the point of attack where you usually get a hold, and that's exactly the call on the Pirates.
It was the left tackle, left guard on that side as he was trying to catch up to a block that was already in front of him. He couldn't quite get there. Kennesaw did a great job of pursuing to that side, cut off the angle there, and in that case, left tackle had nothing to do but try and hold on, and you can't do that in this league.
Spot foul, obviously, with all holds, and it's about a yard behind the line of scrimmage, so it's really going to be an 11-yard penalty, and it'll be first and 21 from the 39-yard line. They need to get right on the nose of the 20 to get the first down here. So it'll be first and 21, 9:20 to go. Dropping back is Hackbart. Hackbart throws it. It's going to be complete in underneath here for Werger. Werger makes the catch, and they're going to get those most of those 10 yards back that they had on the penalty a moment ago, and it's going to set up second, and we'll call it 13. So it'll be a gain of about 7.
I mentioned earlier about Skyler Werger being a long jump, and that maybe he should try high jump. In that case, he was about 3 feet off the ground when he elevated, went up, and got that ball. That's the athleticism there of Skyler Werger.
That's Werger is Hackbart's favorite target. He's caught 33 balls for, well, now about 700 yards on the season. Shotgun formation for Zach Hackbart. A little pump fake. Has time. Now the pocket's collapsing. He's going to run. Fakes the throw again, and he's going to get it across the 30-yard line to about the 28. So that'll be a gain of 5 on the scramble here for Zach Hackbart.
Not a stat you're going to see in the final sheet, but number 25, Jake Brunk from Kennesaw, is the one that pushed Hackbart out of the pocket. And we've got a defensive hold here, but Brunk is the one that pushed Hackbart out of that pocket and flushed him to get him moving.
Well, again, he extended the play.
Yes.
Did Zach Hackbart. We kind of talked about him. He's, you know, I didn't want to call him a Ben Roethlisberger, who's big, and he's big for Class D2 quarterbacks, but Roethlisberger can't run. He's more of a Dante Culpepper kind of thing,
yes.
You know, because he's mobile enough and he's big. And they are going to, I'm sure, going to take the penalty here because defensive holding is an automatic first down. Yeah, so they'll mark up 10 yards from where the foul took place or from the line of scrimmage, and I believe it's an automatic first down. I thought defensive holding was an automatic first down even in high school. It apparently is not.
Evidently,
it's going to be second and
about 4.
Evidently
not an Elwood tonight.
Well, I'm not 100% sure on that, but I thought it was. It is in college and pro. I formation here. They're going to fake the handoff. That is a naked bootleg for Hackbart. Hackbart's going to back into the original line of scrimmage. That was well diagnosed by Kennesaw. And so he's going to get back to the line of scrimmage, and that's going to be about it.
Dangerous living there from Elwood, because this is the third straight play in a row they've run play action. With Hackbart, you can do that. But in this case, as Hackbart turned, the pocket collapsed. He ran to his left. He stuck the ball out, and then you saw two Kennesaw players go for the ball. Hackbart's got to do a little bit better job of securing that ball.
So it's going to be third and five. Pistol formation here for Hackbart, and he's got a couple of lead blockers. It's a quarterback keeper. He cuts back to the inside, going to lean toward that stick. He's going to be short of it there, and he was really using his lead blockers and followed Blake Teedy off that left side. He's going to be short of the first down marker, but he gained about four.
Again, not something you're going to see on the stat line, but Blake Teedy did a great job of leading the block and then holding the block, because even after Hackbart got past him, Teedy had turned and was now blocking from the front. It was an appropriate block. It was completely legal, but Teedy did a great job of making that play happen for Hackbart.
One of the biggest games in the state tonight is Boone Central Newman Grove playing host to Norfolk Catholic. It's 6-3 Boone Central in the second quarter. High snap over the hands of Hackbart, and Hackbart has to just run back there, dive on the football. He's going to lose about 10 yards on fourth down, and he just had to make sure that that wasn't picked up and run the other way by Luke Wimhoff, who came through there free.
In that case, that's all you can do. But that's very disappointing if you're an Elwood Pirates fan, because you had fourth and one. The odds are in your favor. Your offense, as you said earlier, Randy, is beginning to establish a little bit of momentum. And in this case, on a fourth and one, they can't convert, lose some yards. Now it's first down for Kennesaw, and we're going the other way.
And again, one of the rare mistakes that either team has made here so far tonight. There have been a few flags, and speaking of which, we have a legal procedure that's going to be called on Kennesaw. We haven't seen a whole lot of holds. We haven't seen turnovers, a whole lot of things like that. That's really the biggest mistake either team's made so far.
Very indicative of two teams that come into this with a 6-1 record, and those teams are extremely well coached. They've gotten better as the season goes on. Both of their losses were early in the year, and they've gotten better, and you're seeing that here in this game.
16-8. Kennesaw with an 8-point lead here, and they've got it now first and 15. Hand off to Snitzler, Austin Snitzler, right up the middle. He's going to get those 5 yards back, and now set up now second and 10 as he just runs off that left side. Really not around the tight end position, but pretty much where the tight end was.
And slow to get up on that play was number 44, Carson Woodman for the Blue Devils. He was the lead blocker on that play, did a great job of allowing Schnitzler to gain those yards. But in that case, he was just a little bit slow to get up. And here they're going to sub out.
And they're taking some time here, but I think they still have plenty of time to make something happen here. With 7:20 to go, now the countdown is beginning. Shotgun formation for Snitzler, and on the run here is going to be Preston. Preston right up the middle, has room to run, loses the football. It's bouncing free, and I did not see who came up with it. I think it may have gone out of bounds, and it's going to get him a first down. They would have been short by a few yards, but as it stands, they got a very fortunate bounce, and that's going to be a 10-yard gain for Preston Snitzler, and he didn't have the football at the end of it.
That was an incredibly big break for Kennesaw, because the ball was, as you said, bouncing on the field. It was open, and I think it was an Elwood player that actually, in his process of trying to pick the ball up, accidentally moved the ball out of bounds, and first down, Kennesaw.
Well, it took a high bounce. It really came out of there. He didn't leave it on the turf. It was bouncing around. So, fortunate break here for Kennesaw. They lead at 16-8. Pressure coming as they're trying to throw the football, and the pressure gets there for the Pirates. On the sack is John Anderson. Anderson came. If it wasn't a blitz, it sure looked like it, because he came in immediately. And it's going to set up now second and long, as they lost about 9 yards on that play.
They did have a blitz from the right side of the Elwood Pirate defensive line. But also what we're seeing again is when Snitzler missed that field goal attempt, it was because his left leg, his plant leg, was a little bit slippery on the dew. And in that case, the other Snitzler actually just fell down because he didn't have good traction. So we're starting to see humidity play a factor in this ballgame.
Pitch out to Austin. Austin has his quarterback brother, a lead blocker for him, and he's going to bring it to about the 40-yard line. So that'll be a gain of five before he stood up there. Sean Klaus got part of that tackle. Caleb Wilson got a good chunk of it, too, for the Pirates.
and also on the tackle was John Anderson, because he was the one that really pushed that play to the sideline. He started from the middle and kept working it out, and any time that you can work that play to the sideline and keep someone from moving up the field, it's always a success.
Going to be third and about 13 here. We're inside at 6 minutes to go before halftime, 16-8. Kennesaw has the lead and the football right at midfield. Shotgun formation here for Preston Snitzler. He's going to roll to his right, looking for Austin. Still scrambling, throws it to Austin. He's going to make the catch, and immediately wrapping him up is going to be John Anderson.
John Anderson's made two great plays on this drive, actually in the last two plays. And the first one was, again, that last one where he pushed to the outside. And in this case, he got there just a split second after the ball did. Originally, Anderson was playing the ball and realized he couldn't get there, got his hand up, almost deflected it, made a really great tackle, brings up fourth down.
And they're going to punt.
And a punting situation for the Blue Devils.
Because they need to get eight. They're right at midfield. So Preston Snitzler, quarterback and punter, low snap, catches it on the bounce. No pressure coming. High kick. And there's nobody for Elwood near it. It is going to hit probably in the end zone and certainly skipped all the way through. And, again, a sign of respect. Both teams are punting away from each other here in the game. Let's check some more scores for you. We mentioned Boone Central. Newman Grove is leading Norfolk Catholic 6-0. That game is in the second quarter. Central City with a 21-0 lead over Minden in Class C1. Not a lot of games tonight. Hardington Cedar Catholic and C2 having no problem with Ainsworth, 27-0 there. And we'll check some eight-man action here for you in just a little bit. We'll give you the scores. Don't forget that Valentino's will deliver to your door. Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before or after the game or call for one of their great pizzas. Pitch out here for Billy Smith, and Smith is going to get it, going to get back to the line of scrimmage and maybe push the pile forward for about a yard, and that's going to be about it.
Preston Snitzler was at the bottom of that pile because he did what a great defensive end always has to do, and that's stay home and extend yourself to the outside. In this case, he moved to his left and forced Smith to go back inside where there was help.
So 4.5 minutes to go here before halftime. We mentioned the score before, 16-8. As we had touchdown, touchdown, and touchdown, Kennesaw started the melee and ended it as well. They're going to hand the ball off to Billy Smith, and Smith is going to be knocked down at about the 15-yard line. So he's going to lose about four on the play. That one was enveloped by the defensive line for Kennesaw.
That was a unique play for Elwood, one that I haven't seen in a while, because as Hackbart turned, he acted like he was going to hand it off to the first man, stuck it out, drew it back just a little bit, and then actually gave it off to Smith. So in that case, he had two different choices, and because that took so long to develop, Kennesaw saw it coming all the way, loss on the play.
So inside of 4 minutes to go here, again, the winner of this game will win the district championship, get an automatic bid into the state tournament. Shotgun formation for Hackbart. Hackbart pressured, throws the ball in the air, wobbling up there, and he throws it as far as he can, but Billy Smith could not catch up with it. He didn't have enough time to really throw that ball the way he wanted to. He had to guess, and he didn't want to guess short and turn the ball over.
The good news for Kennesaw is that Hackbart hasn't completed a pass. The bad news for Kennesaw is that his receivers have been open. So if Hackbart can ever have that next half a second to step into it and make that good pass, Kennesaw is going to be giving up passing yards.
Hate to correct you, but he is 1 of 5
Excuse
for 7 yards.
I apologize.
So it's pretty short. Billy Smith on the punt. Kind of a low line drive punt, is going to hit about the 42-yard line. Snitzler will pick it up. That's Austin. Austin makes one man miss, brings it across the 40, has the 35, has a couple of lead blockers out there, slips to the sideline, and is going to be knocked out of bounds at about the 17-yard line. So a net punt, really, of only about 6 yards.
And, Randy, we're watching an eight-man football game. It was the fourth Elwood Pirate that made contact with him that actually was able to bring him down. When you go through half of the opponent's team before somebody can bring you down, that's always a good thing for the team with the ball.
So Preston Snitzler with a nice block there that really took away the first gunner for Elwood, and then a stiff arm and then the angle there for Austin Snitzler. So it'll be first and 10 here from about the 16-yard line. I formation, handoff to Austin, right up the middle, has plenty of room. We'll cut back to the inside, and we'll try to lean the ball into the end zone, and he gets there. Touchdown.
That was classic I formation football. You had Snitzler that took the ball right up the gut and then made a read depending on what the free safety was going to do. He angled to the right, and as he got to about the 3.5 yard line, stuck that ball out with his left hand, crossed the plane before the knee went down, touchdown Kennesaw.
I don't think any part of his body got in the end zone, but he was able to extend the football the length of his fingertips, and the ball stuck out farther than his fingers, and he got it across that goal line for the touchdown. So a 16-yard run makes it 22-8, a 14-point lead right now for Kennesaw, and they will go for two. Preston Snitzler will take the snap, hand the ball off to the running back right up the middle, and no room and run there at all for Isaiah McChesney. So the try for two is no good. Score remains 22-8. Kennesaw with the lead. They've got a 14-point advantage and will be kicking off to Elwood with 3:10 to go here in the second quarter when we come back right after this.
If you love good home cooking but hate the dishes, come down to C&D Restaurant in Elwood. C&D fills the plate with great food 7 days a week. There's noon specials Sunday through Friday, a full dinner menu from 5 to 7 Monday through Saturday, and bring the whole family there for Sunday lunch served 10:30 to 1:30. Comfort food at a comfortable price. C&D Restaurant on Highway 23, just a block west of 283 in Elwood. Good home cooking without the dishes. C&D Restaurant in Elwood.
First and 10 coming up here shortly for Elwood. You caught me off guard there, Brandon. I'm blaming you. 3:10 to go here, second quarter, and a nice kickoff return by Snitzler led to Austin Snitzler with a nice little 16-yard run. That momentum, we talked about the momentum earlier for both of these two teams. The offense has kind of had some momentum. Now Kennesaw gets that momentum back and a 14-point lead with 3:10 to go here in the second quarter. And kicking off again will be Austin Snitzler. After the touchdown, he kicks a high kick down that left sideline. And coming up with it on the run here is going to be Aaron Klaus. Klaus trying to find a little seam, finds a little open area, but he's going to be hit and hit hard at about the 21-yard line. He had a nice little read there, but good lane protection there for Kennesaw. They didn't have anybody stray out of the lane.
In on that tackle was number 82, Wyatt Woodman, who's one of the captains on this team. And pregame, as they were going in and warming up, Woodman was one of the most vocal people, one of the most vocal players on that team, because the whole time he was going up and talking with the younger players, getting them involved, and that was leadership there by Woodman.
Plenty of time here for Kennesaw. They have, for Elwood. They've got three timeouts left. Hackbart will throw it to that left side, and it is off the fingertips, which I think we've said here about six times, off the fingertips and incomplete.
One of these downs, one of these quarters, Elwood is going to get that passing game going. And when it does, they're going to be able to chew up yards. But until then, all they're going to do is just chew up the down marker because we're now at second down.
One of six for 7 yards here for Elwood throwing the football. Hackbart averages 163 yards a game in the air. Exactly 3 minutes to go. Clock stopped with the incomplete pass. Hackbart in under center. Has eye formation behind him. Fakes the pass. Has time to throw. And it's going to be a wobbly and knocked away. That was a great job of playing defense. Delton Omer was sitting down there, and it was slapped away by Snitzler. Oh, check that. It was not. It was Hartman.
Keaton Hartman. He did a great job of doing what a great defensive back should, which is extend your hand and swat the ball down. Now, on the other hand, the Pirate receiver didn't do a good job of coming to the ball like you should.
Especially in basketball. I mean, it was really kind of one of those moments where there wasn't a lot on that pass, and for whatever reason, it was kind of fluttering out there, and you're right, he didn't go after the ball. There is a timeout taken here by Elwood. This timeout brought to you by Nebraska Land National. Local people, local decisions, local ownership, Nebraska Land National Bank, member FDIC. 2:55 to go here, second quarter, 3rd and 10 coming up for Elwood, who trails 22-8 to Kennesaw. We'll be back to Elwood right after this.
Water is Nebraska's most precious natural resource, and for over 40 years, Elko Incorporated has kept the water flowing. It all starts with Elko pumps and power units. Reliable, powerful, affordable equipment that brings water to a parched land. Elko also has irrigation pipe and pipe trailers to get the water exactly where you need it most. Gravity irrigation is still the most down-to-earth solution to your water needs, and Elko is your one-stop shop. Elko Incorporated of Elwood. Call us at 785-2930 or online at elkoinc.com.
Bart in shotgun formation, has a little time to throw, throws it to that left side, and it is incomplete. And I'll say it again, off the fingertips.
I can't describe it any more than that. Your color commentator can't give you any more color than that. It hits the receiver in the hands, and he dropped it.
It wasn't an easy catch.
It wasn't.
But again, just off the fingertips. And so that passing game is just a little off the mark right now for Elwood, and that's why they trail at 22-8. And now Smith will be in punt formation. He is standing at his own 10-yard line, and he kicks a high, and I do mean a high kick, and it's going to be picked up by Austin Snitzler. Snitzler across the 30, and he will run through one tackle, gets to the outside, runs through another tackle. It is pulled down at about the 25-yard line. Had a great block there by his little brother, the quarterback, and the gunner still almost got him, ran through that, and then a little stiff arm, ran through another tackle, and he's across the 30-yard line. Will be first and 10 at about the 28.
For the second straight punt return, Austin Snitzler was tackled by the fourth man who made contact for him. And honestly, the second man actually spun him around, and he had good enough balance as a component of power to keep moving forward.
And it threw some of the other defenders off the line a little bit. And look at him point over there as Zach Hackbar pointing in and said, oh, one of the guards moved. Somebody moved in the middle, and that's exactly what the call is going to be here. 5-yard penalty going to be whistled against Kennesaw. They'll have it first and 15. Updating you on a few other scores, Amherst right now leading Burwell 21-14. That game is in the second quarter on our sister station, KXPN 1460. And again, we'll deliver the scores. Valentino of Kearney delivers right to your door, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. A little quarterback keeper here. I think maybe some miscommunication as Preston Snitzler followed his running backs through the hole, but I don't think it was designed for that. And good penetration there by Elwood to make the play.
It wasn't. Snitzler turned around to pitch the ball to his brother, who was moving to the other way, so there was no one to pitch it to. So it was a nice little pirouette. And again, he had great balance because otherwise he could have gone down. But by then, number 32, Cole Reminga for the Pirates was right there to make a sure tackle.
And there is a timeout here taken by Kennesaw to stop the clock with 2:26 to go here in the second quarter. This timeout brought to you by Nebraska Land National Bank. Take time out to find out what Nebraska Land National Bank can do for you. Local people, local decisions, local ownership. Nebraska Land National Bank, member FDIC. And we'll keep it right here. Again, this is not a timeout Kennesaw wanted to make. It's in part to save time here to make something happen, but also to have a little discussion of, guys, we've got good field position. We need to make something happen here. A 14-point lead leading at 22-8 is not enough.
This is not the same flow that we saw from Kennesaw earlier in this quarter. That last series when they got the touchdown late, Elwood responded. Kennesaw then responded with two straight touchdowns on two straight drives, but they haven't had that flow on offense since. They need to get it back here late in the second quarter.
Only back in the backfield is going to be the quarterback Snitzler, and Preston will just follow everybody on that left side and will bring it downfield, and he's going to be close to a first down run here as he gains about 14 yards. They're going to be short of it on fourth down. But they're going to bring out the chains, the measure. From my naked eye, it looked like he was a little bit short, but it's close enough for those on the field to bring it out. So that'll be a nice little gain as they're going to be bringing out the chains. The chain gang bringing out the chains, just like Kearney Towing and Repair will do for you if you're stranded on the side of the road. No matter where you are, they will get you home. And, of course, the chain gang has to bring it all the way across here. And our chain gang brought to you by Kearney Towing and Repair, and they are about 4 inches short of a first down. So a nice little 18-yard run there for Preston Snitzler.
Temperature continues to fall here throughout the night, but the one factor in our atmospheric conditions that is going to make the most difference is the humidity. As the temperature continues to fall throughout the night, the humidity has continued to rise, so that field is going to keep getting slicker throughout the night.
And this discussion of dew point brought to you by Brandon Bennett's. Third and less than a foot here. Clock started after the chain guys get on that far side. I formation, two tight ends, hand off to Austin Snitzler. He's got more than enough for the first down. Cuts back to the inside and then is stood up, backed up, and then will bounce off of that tackle and lean inside about the 5-yard line. So it'll be a 13-yard run here for Austin Snitzler, and it'll stop the clock inside at 2 minutes to go. It'll be first and goal for the Blue Devils.
Delton Ulmer was playing absolutely textbook free safety football. He diagnosed the play. He was moving to the side where Snitzler was running. He made a form tackle, but he didn't wrap up. That allowed Snitzler, who, again, we've seen before, breaking tackles left and right. In this case, he broke a tackle to the right, got it down to a first and goal.
And Ulmer, nice and low on that tackle.
He was.
But, perfect tackle. But low shoulder pad for Austin Snitzler, gets the handoff here, and he'll bring it inside the 5 yard. And he's going to be short of the goal line. He'll only gain about 1 yard. And the point I was trying to make was, again, even though that was great defense, Snitzler, with a nice low center of gravity lowering himself, made it so it wasn't normally 95% of the time that's a tackle.
Yes.
But he was able to get that low center of gravity and able to keep his feet. By the time they snap it, we'll be inside of 1 minute to go here in the second quarter, 22-8, 14-point lead, obviously, for Kennesaw, and they're trying to add to it as they have it second and goal from the four. They still have a timeout left. Now that shotgun formation, Snitzler's going to keep it. Lead block, and Preston gets the pylon, touchdown.
Elwood,
a couple of lead blockers out there for Preston Snitzler in a four-yard run.
He had a couple of lead blockers indeed, and Elwood did a great job of initially cutting off where he wanted to go. Snitzler bounced it to the outside, looked for a hole. Elwood had him cut off. But the entire time, Kennesaw's doing a good job of blocking, and Snitzler was able to get outside far enough, he was able to get to the pylon first.
So a four-yard run will make it now 28-8 with 44.8 to go before halftime. And apparently they're going to kick it here as the single-point conversion being attempted by Austin Snitzler. The snap is down. The kick is up. He drills it right through the middle, and it's now 29-8 with 44.8 to go here before halftime. 21-point lead here for the Blue Devils in Elwood. And we'll take a quick break as the Blue Devils will kick it off. We come back right after this.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
29-8, 21-point lead here for Kennesaw over Elwood. And again, these two teams, their kicking game has really respected the other team. I don't know if you'll necessarily see a traditional kickoff here for Kennesaw, as Elwood did call one timeout earlier, so they'll have a couple of timeouts. And depending on the kickoff, they may decide to really be aggressive or not. Snitzler with a high kick, trying to get it to the end zone. And did it go through, or is that going to be out of bounds? I don't see a flag down by anybody. And the official is going to say that it went into the end zone. From my angle, it looked like it went over the pylon, and that means it went into the end zone.
It's interesting because you've got your...
It's close.
You have your referee in the white cap, and he was looking at the side judge. The side judge looking at the white cap, and they didn't know what to do, and I think they finally decided, you know what, let's just spot it at the 20.
Well, to me, it looked like it went over the pylon.
It did.
It was close one way or the other. Yes. In any event, they're going to call that a touchback. The pylon, even though it's set out of bounds, is considered inbounds. So no time went off the clock here at all. Under center is going to be Hackbart. Hackbart for Elwood has the I formation behind him. They'll break the I. Hackbart trying to keep it and does on that naked bootleg. And it is well diagnosed, and there's a loss on the play.
Ball carried by number 7.
And I think, yeah, making the tackle there is going to be Carson Woodman.
Carson Woodman came through there, and again, as you said, it was a naked bootleg, so he didn't have any help on the outside. He's got to beat that one man in order to be a plus one for the offense, and Carson Woodman blew that play up. Elwood really had an opportunity here with 44.8 seconds left and two timeouts. They really could have done some damage. Now with the sack, they're behind the change. The chains, they're going to have to really hustle.
Yeah, I think now they're just going to do something. Yeah, they're just going to knee down. Again, you're inside your own 10-yard line. No sense digging yourself a deeper hole. So they're going to kneel on it, and here in just about 9 seconds, we'll have one quarter in the books, and there it is. So we have one half in the books. 29-8, a 21-point lead here for Kennesaw in Elwood, as Elwood's offense, the passing game, hasn't really gotten on track. And again, they might be somewhat fortunate they're not down a little bit more. And again, that Elwood offense looks okay, even though they've only scored one time. It's just they're about a yard off on several passes.
It always seems like they've been, as you said, Randy, that 1 yard off or that one count off, where they've been just one piece off every single play, whether it's a running play and you can't get past that one defender for the big game, or in the case of a pass play, you can't have that extra half a yard where your receiver can extend his hands, get that ball, and make that big play.
So we'll take a quick break. When we come back, the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Once again, our halftime score, Kennesaw 29, Elwood 8. We'll return back here to Elwood right after this.
Kelly Tucker has worked at Anderson Brothers for over 30 years. He encouraged his kids to check out college and something else.
Come see us. We'll train you. That's what we've been good at doing. I've always said that Anderson Brothers is more like a college, and that's why I call it Anderson Brothers College, because we do train a lot of people, and they can take that anywhere they go. And there's good wages. There really are. You got to work for it, but there's good wages.
Check out the career options at Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery certified and fellowship-trained physicians provide a superior standard of care with no referral necessary. They treat all surgical and non-surgical orthopedic and sports medicine needs. No matter the activity, New West is here to get you back to it. Call New West Sports Medicine today at 308-865-2570 to schedule your appointment. That's 308-865-2570.
And welcome back here to Elwood. Once again, our halftime score, it's Kennesaw 29-8 over the Elwood Pirates. And this is the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is our treasure, serving Buffalo County for business or residential service. Ravenna Sanitation is your trash collection connection. Find us in your local Yellow Pages. Let's take a look at the scoring summary for you. And it begins very, very late in the first quarter. Pretty good defensive matchup early on in the game. And then Austin Snitzler was able to punch it in from 5 yards away. His brother Preston then got the two-point conversion. It was 8-0, Kennesaw. Very next play from scrimmage for Elwood, Billy Smith took it on that right side, 52 yards on the run. Hackbard hit Skyler Werger on a two-point conversion pass. It was 8-8, but then that second quarter belonged entirely to Kennesaw. Snitzler, Preston Snitzler, a 48-yard run. Austin had the two-point conversion. That made it 16-8. And then Austin with a 16-yard run. The try for two was no good. That made it 22-8 midway through the second quarter. And then late in the second quarter, Preston Snitzler, a 4-yard run. Austin Snitzler added the extra point kick, and it is 29-8. So you had 21 straight points here for Kennesaw in the second quarter after Elwood scored on the final play of the first quarter to tie things up. And so Kennesaw very much in control here in the game. We know Elwood's offense is good enough, the number three offense in the state in terms of the total yards. Their offense is certainly good enough in the second half if they can find some way to slow down the Snitzler brothers.
One of the things we talked about pregame, Randy, was the balance that Elwood had, where they run the ball, yes, and that's important to them, but they also want to throw the ball quite a bit. Coming into this game, Elwood averaged 174 rushing yards and 211 passing yards. So passing is important to them, but when you complete one pass in the first half and passing is that part of your game, you're going to be a little disappointed. Another interesting statistic that we have is Kennesaw is averaging 45 points in the first half of their game so far this year. Right now they've got 29. Elwood is averaging 41 points in the first half throughout the first seven games of their season, and now they've only got 8. So Elwood's going to have to go back to the drawing board a little bit. And honestly, if I'm the Elwood head coach, I'm going to tell my kids, hey, listen, we're doing a good job. Each of our 6 or 7 pass incompletions have been right there. All they have to do is make that one extra play. It's interesting, Randy, right before the teams kicked off, head coach for Kennesaw, Craig Snitzler, was going around and individually talking to his players and giving them a little bit of a pep talk. One of the things that he said to number 11, Isaiah McChesney, is get ready. You're going to get challenged vertically. And coach is right. Coach Snitzler was prophetic in what Elwood is trying to do. They are trying to challenge Kennesaw vertically. They're just not being successful at completing those passes.
Well, speaking of that, we'll take a look at the numbers for Elwood. Their numbers primarily on the ground. Zach Hackbart has carried the ball 9 times for 28 yards. Billy Smith had that 52-yard touchdown run. Well, he has 4 carries for 49 yards. So rest of the way, he's been held for negative yardage. Blake Teedy has 1 carry. So as a team, Elwood on the ground, 14 carries for 78 yards. In the air, Zach Hackbart is 1 of 8 passing. 1 pass completion to Skylar Werger covered 7 yards. So 7 yards in the air, 78 yards on the ground, 85 yards of total offense here for Elwood at halftime. For Kennesaw, as expected, it is the Snitzler's brothers who are doing most of the damage. And tonight it's Preston who's been able to do it from his quarterback position. He has carried the ball 13 times for 148 yards. Austin Snitzler has 16 carries for 93 yards. Keaton Harpham carried the ball 1 time for 1 yard. So as a team, Kennesaw, 30 carries for 242 yards on the ground. And Preston Snitzler is 2 of 3 in the air for 15 yards. So tack on another 15 yards for that. And that's 257 yards of total offense compared to 85 for Elwood here in the first half. And that translates into a 29-8 lead here for Kennesaw over the Elwood Pirates.
Randy, if you would have told me before the game that by halftime Kennesaw was going to have more pass completions than the Elwood Pirates, I would not have believed you, just because, again, we've talked, Elwood wanted that balance. Well, you're seeing Kennesaw sticking to its game plan. It averages about 3.5 pass completions per game. When they do drop back to pass, they're completing better than 60%, so they're very accurate. They're very deliberate in what they want to do. But Kennesaw has 2 pass completions. Elwood has 1. That's the key to the ball game right now.
It really is, because Elwood's, and again, a lot of passes right off the fingertips, just a little bit, and none of them have been short. You underthrow the ball, you run the risk of getting them intercepted. They've all been long by about the length of the football, and that's been about it. That's kind of kept Elwood's offense from really getting on track here tonight. This is the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is our treasure, serving Buffalo County for business or residential service. Ravenna Sanitation is your trash collection connection. Find us in your local Yellow Pages. Quick reminder for you that coming up at the conclusion of our game, we'll have an abbreviated version of the CPI Mr. Tire Friday Night Scoreboard Show. Can I call it that on Thursday? We will call it that, but it'll be a Thursday night edition of the CPI Mr. Tire Scoreboard Show. That'll be coming up after we wrap up this game here tonight in Elwood. Once again, our halftime score, 29-8. We are a long ways away from figuring out the final, and if Elwood can get that offense going, they certainly can come back in this game as they trail by 21 at intermission. We'll check some other scores from around the state. We'll do that when we come back here to the Nebraska Land National Bank broadcast booth right after this quick timeout.
New Tech Seed is proud to support high school sports. New Tech is known as the undisputed yield leader as a result of their excellent performance in university and first trials and in your fields. While winning isn't everything at the high school level, it sure makes things a lot more interesting. To put New Tech's winning genetics to work for you, contact Terry or Jason Stark at 750-6060 or visit NewTech at yieldleader.com.
New Tech Seed, the undisputed Midwest yield leader.
Do you have a passion for athletics? Are you a former high school or college athlete looking for ways to stay involved? The Nebraska School Activities Association is asking you to grab a whistle. Officials are needed in every high school activity and are essential to the future of the game. Visit nsaahome.org for more information. Grab a whistle and contact the NSAA to get registered.
Welcome back here to Elwood, a 29-8 lead for Kennesaw over the Pirates. Let's check some scores from around the state. Most of the games are in the 8-man ranks, so we'll start with Class D1. Cross County leads at Harvard 50-8 at halftime. Elgin Public Pope John with a 28-0 lead in Boyd County. Those games are at halftime. Creighton leads Hardington Newcastle 28-0. That's also at halftime. Lourdes Central Catholic, Nebraska City Lourdes, is trailing East Butler 34-14 also at halftime. on our sister station on KXPN AM 1460. Right now, Amherst and Burwell are tied at 28. The winner of that game wins the District 8 championship. The winner of this game tonight will win District number 7, as Amherst right now trying to remain unbeaten at home against Burwell. Again, tied at 28 on our sister station, KXPN. And, of course, all the games that we do streaming live at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Diller O'Dell with a 24-6 lead at home against McCool Junction. Dundee County Stratton with a 49-8 lead over Cross Creek, as that game is in the second quarter. Arapahoe leads Shelton. Shelton just scored, so Shelton now leads Arapahoe 20-14. That game is in the second quarter. Bruning Davenport Chickley with a 14-0 lead over Pawnee City. That game is in the second quarter. All these being Class D1 scores. In Class D2, right here, it's Kennesaw with a 29-8 lead over Elwood. And again, the District 7 championship is on the line in this game. Bertrand is leading in Loomis 8-0 there in the second quarter. Maxwell leads Mullen 24-8 in the second quarter. Fall City Sacred Heart is leading Parkview Christian 14-0 in the second. Giltner with a 50-6 lead over Lawrence Nelson. That game is on our sister station, KLIQ, The Breeze, 94.5. That just went to halftime. And again, that's streaming live at PlatteRiverPreps.com. Elsewhere, Medicine Valley, 20-8 lead in Wallace. They're at halftime. The winner of that will win the district title in District number 8. Eustis Farnham with a 16-0 lead over Alma in the second quarter, as the Cardinals are looking for their first win of the season. And Selma Myrna, 20-8 over Brady there in the second quarter. So that's all the eight-man action tonight. Hardington Cedar Catholic, no problem with Ainsworth so far, 27-0 as they're in the second quarter. Boys Town, the Cowboys are shutting out Arlington 21-0 at halftime. Also at halftime, Cozad leads O'Neill 12-0. Boone Central, Newman Grove leads Norfolk Catholic 12-9. Battle of field goals in that one. And Central City will have a running clock to start the second half against winless Minden in Central City, as the Bison lead that one 41-0 as they're in the second quarter. Elsewhere in Class A, Millard West and Lincoln Southeast are tied at 14 at halftime. So those are all the scores for you from around the state. Here on Classic Hits 98.9 FM, we'll deliver the scores. Valentino's at Kearney delivers right to your door. Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before and after the game or call for one of their great pizzas. You can carry out, or Valentino's will deliver in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight, Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Once again, our halftime score, 29-8. Kennesaw has the lead here in Elwood, and we'll return with more of the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report right after this.
Golden Harvest brand offers some of the highest yielding corn hybrids of any seed company in this area, and they're protected by some of the most advanced trait technology in the industry. Take G11U58, for example, which has superb drought tolerance and Airflex, available in AgriSure Viptera or Easy Refuge, or 28U7 soybeans, which have outstanding yield performance across many environments. Talk to Brent Woodman in Kennesaw today. Brent and Sarah wish all of our athletes good luck. Always read and follow label instructions before buying or using Syngenta products.
Berg Insurance in Kennesaw has your crops, farm, home, and autos covered. See Berg Insurance Company in Kennesaw. They've been protecting this area for over 50 years in a relaxing and friendly environment. Berg Insurance is a very proud supporter of all the area high school sports and would like to wish the athletes the very best of luck. Berg Insurance in Kennesaw. Relax, we've got you covered.
And welcome back. This is the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is our treasure, serving Buffalo County for business or residential service. Ravenna Sanitation is your trash collection connection. Find us in your local Yellow Pages. Glad you could join us for coverage of high school football here on ESPN. Well, I'm so used to doing ESPN games. So here on KKPR, Classic Hits 98.9 FM, Kearney, Elwood, and Kennesaw. Kearney's kind of in the middle ground of these two schools, as again, a great matchup, top 10 matchup, a couple of the best offenses in the state. And again, the number three offense in the state is Elwood. They've rushed for over 2,000 yards so far this season, passed for another 1,200. Kennesaw is the fifth best offense in the state with over 3,000 yards, but they've been involved in so many games where it's been a running clock. that sometimes they haven't really played four quarters. They've only played about the equivalent of three, and that probably has impacted them a little bit. And that's one reason why I think Kennesaw has been rated a little bit higher than Elwood all season long. But certainly the Pirates have the type of offense that it would take to come back in this game. But they're going to have to get some stops, and maybe Kennesaw is going to have to stub their toe with a turnover or two.
This is going to be an interesting second half, Randy, for a couple of different reasons. Because on one hand, this is exactly what we expected. Kennesaw was going to run behind the Snitzler boys all night long. Elwood was going to run and expect to pass a little bit. The passing game hasn't turned out quite what they expected. These two teams, again, coming in were so similar except for one thing, and that was Elwood, on a statistical basis, was giving up more points per game. Another interesting point is, and the head coach for the Kennesaw Blue Devils, Craig Snitzler, said it in his pregame interview, is that many times by the third and especially the fourth quarter, he was playing more freshmen than he was starters. So it's been a couple of weeks since the Kennesaw Blue Devils have gone a full four quarters playing a deep game. If Elwood comes back and responds, is Kennesaw going to have to keep its starters in the game the entire game, and are they going to be able to continue that same amount of momentum?
Yeah.
Another thing is
they might be a little gassed. I mean, that was one thing that Coach Snitzler was worried about.
Absolutely.
That they might be a little gassed. That's why he kept his starters in a little bit longer last week.
Absolutely. And don't forget, this is Elwood's senior night. 20 players on the Elwood Pirate roster, 10 of them are seniors. They've been playing together since they were in junior high. This is probably not their last home game, because even if Elwood loses tonight, they're probably going to host next week. But even at that, this is their last home regular season game. There's a lot of pride out here for the Pirates. So they're going to come back, and I can't help but think that head coach Kevin Mahlberg hasn't mentioned that a little bit, or maybe a lot of bit, in that halftime locker room, talking about how literally half of this team is seniors. This is their last regular season game. They have a lot to come out here and play for the next 24 minutes.
And obviously, Elwood, I mean, Kennesaw has to be happy with how they play.
Absolutely.
You know, they're playing a good football team, and they're leading it 29-8, so they got to be happy. You know what? I like a lot of the things that Elwood's been doing out there. They've run. I like the plays that they've been calling. They've been running them pretty well. A couple of passes by Hackbart were just a little bit off the mark. There was one where he really had to throw the ball and just chuck it down the field because pressure was coming, otherwise he would have got sacked. Still almost hit a big play. It just seems to me that Elwood is going to make some of those connections, because they've been so close so many times, and they're just too good for them to only have 7 yards passing in the second half like they only had 7 yards passing here in the first.
I mentioned it late in the second quarter, where Coach Snitzler pregame had told Isaiah McChesney that they were going to challenge him vertically, and Elwood has attempted to challenge vertically and attempt to establish that passing game. They just haven't done it. And I know that we keep coming back to it, but I can't help but think at some point in time and make some adjustments right here at halftime and try to open up that passing game a little bit more.
Well, Tyler Werger has 16 touchdown receptions on the season, and he's been held to only 7 yards receiving. And again, I just don't think that this Elwood passing game can be this quiet this long. You have to think that the Giants going to wake up sometime, and certainly Elwood hopes that that will be coming up soon here as they trail it 29-8. At halftime. We'll take a quick break. We'll have the second half kickoff, 29-8. Kennesaw with the lead over Elwood. We'll be back right after this.
The Kennesaw Market is an Affiliated Foods Midwest store. The Kennesaw Market is your hometown grocer, stocking SureFine and SureFresh products. The Kennesaw Market also has a dining area serving daily lunch specials, dine-in or carry-out. The Kennesaw Market is open from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, and 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Sundays. They appreciate your business at the Kennesaw Market, 210 North Smith Avenue in Kennesaw. The Kennesaw Market is a proud supporter of all the Kennesaw athletes, teams, and coaches.
You've been listening to the Ravenna Sanitation Halftime Report. Ravenna Sanitation says your trash is our treasure. Serving Buffalo County for business or residential service, Ravenna Sanitation is your trash collection connection. Find us in your local Yellow Pages. 29-8, Elwood trails at home to Kennesaw. Randy Bushcutter, Brandon Bennett, glad you could join us for coverage of high school football here on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. Waiting for the last few seconds to come off the clock here at halftime. As Kennesaw is teeing it up, Elwood will get the ball first. And again, if they can do something here, if they can get that touchdown and make this a two-score game at that point, then they will have a little bit of that momentum. And I think this drive is really key here for the Pirates.
It's a cliche, and usually a cliche is a cliche because people say it so often because it's true. The most important drive in any game is the first drive of the third quarter. Elwood gets the ball first, and so we're going to see what adjustments they've made at halftime, see what motivation they have. Again, 10 of the 20 players are seniors, see what motivation these seniors have to play, and see what we can do to get the Elwood Pirate passing game going.
And I, again, with that passing game, I don't think they need to change any of the X's and O's. They've just been off the fingertips. I think we've said that on 7 of the Ray passes here tonight. Snitzler has it all teed up. We're just about ready to get underway here. And I think it's Klaus that's back deep for the Pirates, standing at about his 3-yard line. And it is going to be a short kick, and it's going to go out of bounds in about the 20-yard line, maybe just inside the 20. So, again, I think just about every kick has been kicked away from the other team, as both teams don't want their other guys out in open space.
Life is a game of inches, Randy, and never more important is it true than in sports. And, again, in this case, the kicker for Kennesaw, as he went to plant, slipped just a little bit. So while they are respecting Elwood, when you take that respect and you mix in some physical conditions, now you've got a recipe for Elwood with great field position.
And Hackbart will throw it out here for Smith, and Smith will make the catch, but he will only gain maybe about a half yard or so, as, again, just a little bit off the mark, but at least it's a completion, even though there's no gain on the play.
Nice little wheel route there. Get confidence built up in Hackbart. There hasn't been a time yet this season he's gone 1 for 7. He's too good of a passer. Well, in this case, a nice little wheel route to Smith, nice little confidence builder. But again, in this case, as Smith turned to go up the field, he slipped, fell down. We're seeing this field get a little bit more dewy as the game goes on.
Shotgun formation here for Hackbart. He'll take the snap. Has time to throw. Throws it to his right. Completion to Smith. Smith going to be short of the first down after a nice little 9-yard gain. And a good, fairly good coverage there for Kennesaw as Keaton Harpin led the tackle.
Harpin really couldn't have done much more to better cover the receiver in that case. Smith just made a great break on the ball. It was a 10-yard out route where he put the ball right on the money. And in this case, we're seeing a second completion here. So first two plays for Elwood. First two pass completions of the second half, Elwood's starting to build something here.
I like what Kevin Malberg's doing here. Quarterback keeper right up the middle. He's got more than enough just on the quarterback sneak. And then Kennesaw starts trying to tackle the football, and they are not able to do that. It'll be a good 5-yard run right up the middle here for Zach Hackbart.
We talked about how 10 of the 20 Elwood Pirates are seniors. One of those seniors is Zach Hackbart. He's not going to go out into that good night, so to speak, without his best effort. Comes out and completes two straight passes.
And also a senior is Caleb Wilson, 185-pound senior. He is down on the ground at this moment. It looked like he was holding his hands. No, it's his legs, as he has difficulty putting weight on his feet, and I can't tell if that's the ankle or the knee, but in any event, he is very gingerly keeping that left ankle off the ground. His ankle is very, very much wrapped, and appears that he may have re-sprained that ankle. And so they're taking him off the field, and those are some big shoes to fill here for the Pirates. This injury report brought to you by Family Physical Therapy. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back into the game of life with two locations in Kearney. And again, you could tell that he had a sore ankle with the amount of tape that you could see on that, and I think he just may have retweaked that. And hopefully he'll be able to heal in time for the playoffs next week. In any event, it'll be 1st and 10 here for Elwood. They're just short of midfield. Out of the shotgun is going to be Zach Hackbart. He's looking to throw, and he'll punch it to that right side. It's caught by his favorite receiver, Skyler Wegner. And Wegner is going to have a nice little gain of about 7.
Interesting little substitution here for Elwood, because number 55, Caleb Wilson, who just came out with the injury, he's the starting center. The new center now is a sophomore, number 50, Jake Guidesden. He's going to come in, and he's going to be the one snapping the ball. We're going to see if that changes anything Elwood does in their playbook.
Werger on the season now has caught 35 balls. Shotgun formation for Hackbart. running back on either side, and it's just going to be a quarterback keeper. He's got a lead blocker, but a lot of blue hats coming his way, and he's going to get back to the line of scrimmage, and that's going to be about it. Preston Snitzler diagnosed that very, very well. Eating up one of the lead blockers is Carson Woodman as well, and so they're going to move about the length of the football, and that's going to be it for Hackbart.
We've talked about it before on both the Snitzler boys, and in this case, Hackbart returned the favor a little bit. It was the fourth Kennesaw defender that brought Hackbart down, so he's doing a good job of shedding tacklers, moving the ball down the field.
29-8, Elwood trailing here. They've got it 3rd and 3, so they need to make something happen out of the I formation. Right up the middle is Hackbart. Hackbart needs to get about 3. I think he's going to be a little bit short of that, as it was just basically a quarterback keeper. And it's going to be 4th down, and they're still moving the chains out there. It's going to be a full yard that he needs.
By 7, Zach Hackbart.
Nice little run up the middle. He must have seen something, whether it was on film or whether the Kennesaw defense lined up in a certain way. That's the second time now in a short yardage situation we've seen him get in behind the center. Originally was a starting center. Now, even with a backup, he's taking the ball and just going if he sees a seam.
Well, and the first time it worked for 5 yards, and they only needed about half of that there, and we'll see whether or not they go with that quarterback keeper as well. Is there nobody lined up directly over the center defensively? Hackbart, long count, a little bit of movement up front, and a bad snap. And I think maybe Elwood came up with a ball, but they did not gain a yard. Actually, Kennesaw comes up with it as Austin Schnitzler comes up with the ball. And even if Elwood would have fell on that, that line surge for Kennesaw, there was no chance that was going to work.
That was a typical, or I should say a stereotypical example of a center quarterback exchange. Again, we've talked about it before. The ball is going to get wet throughout the night. The grass is starting to get wet a little bit. We have a backup quarterback, a sophomore coming in, replacing a senior starter. And in that case, the exchange just wasn't clean. Fumbled the ball.
About the 32-yard line here, I formation for Kennesaw, right up the middle, big hole coming up here for Austin Snitzler. Snitzler busts through that, brings it across the 40 to near the 30-yard line on the other side. That's going to be an 18-yard gain, make it a 17-yard gain. And when I say a quick hitter, I mean that was a quick hitter.
There was nothing in there but green space ahead of Austin Snitzler. All he did was take the ball and go. There wasn't any crossbuck action, no delay whatsoever. He took the ball and ran straight forward.
Two tight ends, I formation, hand off to Snitzler. And Austin is getting to the line of scrimmage. And at his feet, holding his legs together, is Jake Guidston. And that'll be a gain of about 2.5 yards.
Almost the exact same play, Randy, but from the other side of the line. With the last play with the big gain, the quick hitter was to the right side. In this case, it was just off tackle, off guard to the left. In this case, Elwood had seen that play before. They're not going to get fooled twice.
And Snitzler over 100 yards again. He's now got 100 and about 13, according to my calculations. And again, two tight ends, I formation, Preston under center. Preston Snitzler hands off to Austin. Austin has a lead blocker, a little stiff arm there against Hackbart. And Hackbart does a nice job with that confrontation, gives up maybe about 1 yard, and that's going to be about it.
That's a great tackle by the senior tonight. Again, playing in his last home regular season game, Hackbart came, and it was a very high tackle, tackled him around the shoulder blades, but was able to rotate him enough to throw Snitzler off balance, get him to the ground.
Well, Hackbart has long arms, and
that
stiff arm by Austin Snitzler made it so he couldn't really get into Snitzler the way he wanted to, but those long arms certainly helped. 3rd and at least 6 here, and the pressure comes, and Preston Snitzler is going to be knocked back for a loss. They came with kind of a run blitz, and I think Preston Snitzler was going to try to do a little bootleg, and he thought better of it. He wasn't going to give up any more ground, as that one was busted up by the Elwood defense.
Number 3, Delton Ulmer, did exactly what you want a linebacker to do. When, as you said, they're in a run blitz, they're going to shoot the gap. He comes through reckless abandon, absolutely blows up that play, brings up 4th down and long. And as we heard the Kennesaw coach talk pregame, he doesn't necessarily punt in these situations. He's comfortable going for it 4th and long, and that's exactly what they're going to do here.
Well, they have it at about the 28-yard line, so punting wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. They're going to go for it. Shotgun formation for Preston Snitzler. Snitzler now is going to tuck it and run, trying to get to that outside. Slips off of one tackle, but he is not going to get there. Making that last stop is going to be John Anderson, and Anderson, from our vantage point, is going to keep him short by about a half yard. Yes, he is.
Anderson came up from his linebacker spot, pursued the play, and then took a great pursuit angle because he realized he wasn't going to be able to get to Snitzler in time to stop the play behind the line of scrimmage, took the exact right textbook pursuit angle, and was able to wrangle Snitzler to the ground before he got to the first down marker.
29-8, Elwood is down by 21. They've got the ball with 6:28 to go here in the third quarter at their own 22-yard line, and they're just running right up the middle, get back the line of scrimmage, and that is going to be about it.
Not a whole lot of running there, Randy, because number eight for Kennesaw, we've called his number, we've called his name on offense, we'll call his number on defense, came up from his linebacker spot, plugged the hole, and allowed only a one-yard gain.
So Preston Snitzler on the tackle, and it is a gain of, I wrote it down as zero. They actually gave him a full yard. So now TD has two carries for 2 yards. And again, we'll see if Elwood kind of gets that offense going again in the air. They had some success. Play-action pass rolling out is going to be Hackbart. Hackbart has pressure. We'll throw it in to his relief pass in there to Billy Smith, and Smith is going to get back to the line of scrimmage, and that's about it. How many blue hats were out there? You had about three guys at the quarterback, and there was still somebody left to pick up Billy Smith late as he came out of from being in protection for that nice little dump pass.
And unfortunately for Hackbart, he missed a receiver that was wide open. Number three, Delton Ulmer, was coming across the field from the right side of the formation and was running a shallow post and was coming all the way across. He was wide open, had a lead hand up, asking for the ball. Unfortunately, Hackbart couldn't get there because, as you said, the blue hats were there. Kennesaw's defensive line applied such pressure, he just couldn't find his open receiver.
He really couldn't look more than 5 yards away from where he was standing. He did not have the time. Hackbart drops back to pass, is going to throw it to that right side, and it is going to be incomplete as running out of room over there was Werger. So it'll fall incomplete.
What we're seeing there was an adjustment for Elwood because instead of a bootleg or a naked bootleg or some kind of a play-action pass, in this case, Hackbart just took the ball, 2-3-step drop, and immediately got rid of it.
So punting formation here is going to be Billy Smith. The Snitzler boys are back deep. It's kind of an end-over-end kick, and picking it up is going to be Austin. Austin right up the middle makes one man miss, makes a stiff arm at the 40, and is going to be pushed out of bounds at about the 35-yard line. So into enemy territory is going to be the Kennesaw Blue Devils leading it 29-8 with now 4:49 to go here in the third quarter.
One of the things we talked about at halftime, Randy, was whether or not Kennesaw was going to have enough gas in the second half. And in this case, the same has to apply for Elwood because Elwood throughout their season has been able to get a lot of their subs in. They're going to have to play the entire game. And right now you've got three defensive linemen for Elwood with their hands on their hips.
And Elwood has been in some tighter games.
They have.
Most notably the game against Bertrand where they won by 2 not long ago. Under center here is going to be Snitzler. Snitzler now will redirect traffic a little bit, has two tight ends. Nobody moves around. They're going to pitch it out to Austin. Austin has a couple of lead blockers, including the quarterback, and he's going to bounce off one guy and then loses the football. There's a lot of maroon over there. Did they come up with a ball? It appears the Elwood fans thinking they did, and they did. Ball came loose. That secondary help after they stood up Snitzler, and it is a turnover.
Fumble on the play, recovered by the Pirates.
And Snitzler is down here for Kennesaw.
That was a very nice play right up until the time the ball got fumbled because, as you said, Randy, Austin Snitzler got the ball from his brother Preston, who then turned and was a lead blocker for him. You don't see that very often. Well, in this case, Austin, as he got to the edge, again, was carrying the ball on the inside hand. He was carrying it on in his right hand going to the left sideline. That allowed an Elwood defender making a form tackle to put his helmet on the ball, pop the ball loose. Elwood now has the momentum here, and with an unfortunate injury, the Kennesaw player is still lying on the ground.
Yeah, I am sure that is Snitzler. As Austin Snitzler, it's right where he was at, and I don't see 23 standing up, so that's going to be Austin Snitzler that they're working on right at the 30-yard line. He's moving his legs. I don't know if this is concussion protocol or he just landed on the – well, he didn't land on the football, but might have got hit in the stomach. He's coming off, and he is – to me, it looks a little woozy.
He's a little wobbly there, Randy.
Yeah, that might be the concussion protocol, so that could be a major factor for Kennesaw moving forward here. This injury report brought to you by Family Physical Therapy. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center getting you back in the game of life with 2 locations in Kearney. On, and they're bringing him to the sideline. And it's a near sideline, so we'll be able to kind of take a look and see whether or not they're doing the concussion protocol or what they have going on here. And it could be something around the shoulders, too, because he has his hands on his dad, his right hand on him, and he's kind of explaining what's going on. And almost that motion makes me think that I feel like I'm going to throw up, which, again, would be a concussion symptom.
And it was one of those things, Randy, when he was laying on the field, he wasn't moving. And when they brought him up, he had to stabilize himself and then ask for support and got it. So he's still very wobbly even here on the sidelines.
Ackbart's going to drop back, play action pass, throws it in underneath, going to be caught. And it's going to be across the 40-yard line. Skyler Werger just rolling out with his quarterback, and he's going to end up gaining about 12 yards. A nice little pitch and catch.
4:29 remaining in the third quarter. That's the first pass and catch. It's the first pass play we've seen Elwood run where they felt like they were actually in rhythm. They got a good snap, got a good rollout, got a good pass completion. That's the first time we've seen Elwood really feel like they were in rhythm tonight. We're going to see if they can start building on that more.
And that's their first gain of over 10 yards of the passing game as well. 29-8, Elwood trailing it. Snap to Hackbart. He's going to keep it. Has a couple of lead blockers dancing down that sideline, and he's going to be knocked out of bounds near the 30-yard line. He'll be short of the first down. We'll see exactly where they say he's down, but it's going to be second and short here for the Pirates.
And Hackbart comes up limp. Now, favoring his left ankle just a little bit. He's not coming out of the game, but as he came up that last time, he had to get assistance from one of his receivers to steady himself on the right side. Put much weight on his left ankle.
Well, every step, he seemed to be putting a little bit more weight on there.
Yes.
So I think he's going to be okay. Two tight ends, I formation. Hackbart's going to hand it off to Smith. Smith covers the football, will try to get to the outside, and does. He's inside the 30-yard line. It's going to be close to first down, but it's going to end up being here third and very short after a short gain.
The first play of this series, Randy, was that pass play to the left side. They've run three straight run plays now to the left side. So Elwood is starting to pick on the right side of the Kennesaw defense. We're going to see if that's deliberate, something they've seen on film, or if they're trying to set him up for a big pass play to the right.
Norfolk Catholic now leads at Boone Central Newman Grove 16-12. That game's in the third quarter in Class C1. Hackbart, quarterback keeper, will spin and then find a little seam, has enough for the first down. He was initially stopped and just wasn't going to be able to push the pile, so kind of spun through there, and he still ends up gaining about 3.5-4 yards.
Randy, if you're an Elwood Pirate fan, you're feeling really good about that play call right now, because if Hackbart was in fact still injured because of that ankle when we saw him a couple plays ago, they would not have allowed him to do that quarterback sneak. Even though it was a short yardage gain, Elwood would not have allowed their quarterback to try and get a running play where he would have re-injured that ankle. So that makes me feel good if you're an Elwood Pirate fan.
First and 10 from the 25. Bad snap. Picking it up is Hackbart. He's dropping back, being pressured, being spun. Throws it up ahead. They're going to say he's down just as he pitched it out to Billy Smith. And so that's going to be a sack on the play, and nearly getting the ball off, but making sure it didn't happen is Carson Woodman getting the sack here for Kennesaw.
Randy, the referee is a lot closer than you or I, but I thought he got rid of that ball before the knee hit the green grass.
And he would have got back to the original line of scrimmage, and that probably would have been about it, but that is going to be a loss of about 13 on the play here on the sack, as he kept running away from big number 44 before finally Woodman was able to make the tackle. So it's going to be second, and we'll call it 23 here. Shotgun for Hackbart. Hackbart steps up, throws. It's wobbling in the night. Has a man caught by Smith, who's in the end zone for the touchdown.
That was a nice deep post. It doesn't get any more textbook than that. Billy Smith went about 15 yards down the field and then cut toward the inside. He cut toward the goalpost. It was a nice little 15-yard post route. He got behind the defender. We talked earlier where head coach Craig Schnitzler for Kennesaw thought that they were going to challenge vertically. Well, in this case, they didn't challenge McChesney. They challenged Hartman. Touchdown, Pirates.
And again, that's going to build a little momentum for that Pirate offense, who was just off the mark in the first half. They're starting to find some rhythm here in the second half as they get the 38-yard touchdown. Shotgun formation here as they go for two. Hackbart has two running backs on either side. Time to throw. Throws it on the left side. It's complete in the end zone. And the two-point conversion to number one, Skyler Werger. And just like that, it is now 29-16 with a minute 51 to go here in the third quarter. So a 13-point lead still for Kennesaw. But Elwood with a big touchdown here in the final moments of the second quarter. Again, 29-16. We'll take a quick break. Elwood will kick it off. Still down by 13. We come back right after this.
At Nebraska Land National Bank, we love local. Local people, local decisions, and local ownership. We want our community to grow and prosper. That's why we are focused on providing you with high-quality, personalized service at a competitive price to help you reach your financial goals. Nebraska Land National Bank is proud to call Kearney home and provide our community with the very best in banking. Member FDIC.
Nebraska Land National Bank.
Well, we're in the final moments of the third quarter here as it's 29-16. Elwood with a big touchdown here to cut the lead down to 13. And, again, I'm looking out there, and I don't see big number 23 for Kennesaw as Austin Snitzler. I don't even see on the sideline at the moment. So we think it may be concussion or they're at least checking for him here. The kickoff for Elwood, and it's going to be picked up by Snitzler and nearly fallen down. Check it, it's not Snitzler, rather, but Tyson Burr. And Burr will get to that left side. Gets a lead block by Snitzler, and actually with a nice little return there.
The older Snitzler, Austin, is still on the Kennesaw sideline. He was sitting down on the bench, and he walked toward the sideline with his helmet, started to put it on, and wobbled a little bit, and he's still standing there on the sideline. So Austin hasn't yet come back in the ballgame.
This injury report brought to you by Family Physical Therapy. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center getting you back in the game of life with two locations in Kearney. There was a penalty on the play, a 15-yarder, or are they going to re-kick it? Were they offsides? No, it is a personal foul face mask on the tackle. Didn't see the flag, but you tack on 15 yards. Wow, that's great field position. Now they're across the 35-yard line. So they're already into Elwood territory here at about the 36, we'll call it. So Kennesaw will hand the ball off. And right up the middle, they run with it, and not a whole lot of room to run there.
Interesting response here for Kennesaw, because as soon as the ball was spotted and the referee and the umpire marked the ball ready for play, the first thing that the Kennesaw center did was sprint toward the ball. Now, before, he had been jogging to the ball, but you saw the center and the rest of the offensive line sprint toward the ball. They're wanting to reestablish themselves. They've just given up a major drive here. Kennesaw is going to respond, and in their first kickoff return, in their first play, they're doing just that.
3-yard run there by Isaiah McChesney, and they're going to snap it out to Snitzler. Snitzler off that left side. Boy, he's going to be close to the first down marker. Actually, with a little extra lunge there, is going to gain the extra distance they needed. Kind of stiff-arm the ground, if you will, to gain an extra yard. So that'll be a 9-yard run for Preston Snitzler. And again, just a quick little hitter out there, as both Harpham and McChesney were lead blockers for the quarterback.
One of the fringe benefits of having an I formation is you also have two blockers if you need to. In this case, Kennesaw needed to. They found that little quick hitter off to the right side and got the first down.
42 seconds to go in the third quarter, 29-16. Kennesaw up by 13, and the quarterback's going to keep it. Has a couple of lead blockers out there, and Snitzler is going to get back to the line of scrimmage, and not a whole lot more there.
And ladies and gentlemen, from now on, when we say Snitzler, we're talking about Preston, because Austin is still on the sideline. He's standing about the 32-yard line with his helmet off. He's talking to some teammates, but he has not gone back on the field yet.
I would be surprised if he comes back in. They were checking him for the concussion. Again, I have no idea how that turned out, but we'll see with what his status is. And they are going to let the clock expire here, as now with the 13-point lead, they're going to let a little time run off, and that is the end of the third quarter. 29-16, a 13-point lead here for Kennesaw, as they'll have it second and 8 from the 29 when we start the fourth quarter right after this.
He's at the 30, 20, 10, touchdown, the home team wins.
When you're looking for someone to throw you a winning touchdown, contact your hometown team, the Kroll Agency for Protection, written through IMT or Wadena Insurance. They'll help you customize an insurance plan for you. Call the Kroll Agency in Minden, Kennesaw, Hastings, and Roseland. The IMT Group and you, a team that can't be beat. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation, a very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River, Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
Well, we're heading into the fourth quarter as Elwood has a little bit of momentum, but good field position here for Kennesaw, and they lead it 29-16. And we were kind of talking about during the break, Brandon, that a little bit off the normal scores here is these are two of the best offenses in the state. In their loss to start the season, Kennesaw lost 52-26 to Exeter Milligan. So 26 is their season low. For Elwood, their season low is 40. So,
and they've got 16 through three.
So neither one of them are really on pace to hit their average, but neither that's the effect of playing a pretty good football team.
Neither one of these two teams have even come close to their halftime scoring average, and here we are in the third.
And we have a little bit of movement on the snap, a legal procedure going to be called here on Kennesaw, the first play of the fourth quarter. And with that movement, we go from it being second and eight to second and 13 against the Blue Devils. This really has been a well-played game. We have a turnover for Kennesaw. There's been a few flags, a few illegal procedure penalties, and then a 15-yard penalty that really gave Kennesaw some good field position on that kickoff. Other than that, it's been a pretty clean game.
Very well played. Very, very veteran coaches on both sides.
Oh, absolutely.
Both
good,
coaches,
good coaches, yeah.
Excellent coaches, Hall of Fame caliber coaches on both sides. And in this case, what you've got is just the left tackle knew that play was going to go to his left and wanted to break stance a little early.
So second and 13, the pistol formation here. Snitzler, Preston has a little pressure and is going to be wrapped up by Hackberg. He throws it incomplete, and we'll see whether or not that's intentional grounding. He dumped it off that right side. I don't think he got it near anybody. I don't see a flag either.
I don't think they're going to call a flag, but I think they're going to call him the equivalent of in the grasp.
Yeah, in the grasp. Yeah, they're going to say that he was moving back. So, again, if it wasn't for that, I think that would have called the penalty, and that's probably the lesser of two evils. Pretty much has the same effect, as that will be about a five-yard loss and a nice play there by Hackberg to get his other quarterback.
Hackbart came in and sacked his counterpart and, again, tackled him high, but Hackbart's big enough and strong enough, 6'3", 215 pounds, and you're not going to get away from him when he tackles you.
So the ball is on the other side of the 35, and they've got to get it all the way down to about the 15. So this is third and 20 here. Only back in the backfield is going to be Snitzler, and before the snap, Dad's going to call a timeout. So timeout here for Kennesaw as Craig Snitzler calls the timeout. This timeout brought to you by Nebraska Land National Bank. Take timeout to find out what Nebraska Land National Bank can do for you. Local people, local decisions, local ownership. Nebraska Land National Bank, member FDIC. 11, fourth quarter, 29-16. Kennesaw has the lead and the timeout. We're back right after this.
If you love good home cooking but hate the dishes, come down to C&D Restaurant in Elwood. C&D fills the plate with great food 7 days a week. There's noon specials Sunday through Friday, a full dinner menu from 5 to 7 Monday through Saturday, and bring the whole family there for Sunday lunch serve 10:30 to 1:30. Comfort food at a comfortable price. C&D Restaurant on Highway 23, just a block west of 283 in Elwood. Good home cooking without the dishes. C&D Restaurant in Elwood.
And welcome back here to Elwood. Kennesaw calls the timeout with 11 and a half minutes to go here in the fourth quarter. They lead it 29-16, third and 20. And I don't know, did Coach Snitzler suddenly have an epiphany that we should call something else here for the timeout?
He saw something there that he absolutely didn't like, because just before the ball was snapped, he sought out the side judge and was screaming for a timeout. So he saw something in the Elwood defensive alignment he didn't want to allow happen.
They're going to go with that pistol formation, running back on either side, and Preston's going to keep it, cut back to the inside a little bit, and the Pirates are there, and he'll gain about 5 yards on third and 20, and it'll be a punting situation here. The tackle was led by John Anderson.
Tackle was led by John Anderson, but number 50, Jake Guidston, again, he was the sophomore that came in replacing the senior center. And in that case, Jake did exactly what your defensive end should do. Moved up the field diagonally, pushed the ball carrier in toward help. He's not going to get credit for the tackle, but he gets credit for the tackle.
Preston Snitzler in punt formation gets a good snap. Not much pressure coming at all. It is going to be a short kick, and it's going to bounce just straight up in the air and then take a small little Kennesaw roll. And just to give you an idea of how bad things went on that drive, if they would have got a first down, the ball would be about where the ball is right now as they get back to what would have been the intended line of scrimmage if they would have got a first down on that series. So the ball will be spotted. Where are we at looking at here? About the 14-yard line.
Elwood has a real opportunity here because Kennesaw could have responded after Elwood's touchdown. They haven't. Let's see if Elwood can continue this momentum.
Hackbart, time to throw, and he's going to throw the ball deep. He's got a guy, and it's going to be caught. That's Skyler Werger. It was a little underthrown on a very deep pass, and he's going to be tackled at about the 31-yard line. So we go from the 14 all the way. They're going to spot him at the 32.
We talked about it in the first quarter, the second quarter, halftime, and even early in the third quarter, how it was only a matter of time before Hackbart and the passing game got going. Hackbart dropped back, three-step drop, pump fake, dropped back two more steps, and unloaded, caught his receiver mid-stride, and Elwood is in business here in the fourth.
44-yard gain, and now Hackbart's going to keep it, has a couple of lead blockers, but a nice job there defensively, busting up the play from his end position is Wyatt Woodman.
Wyatt Woodman, we mentioned his name earlier. He was the captain I was talking about earlier that was going around and was being very vocal pregame. In this case, Woodman came from his defensive end spot, blew up the blocker, got his hands extended, moved the Elwood blocker out of the way, and then attack the quarterback.
He was able to fight through that block and reach out with that big right arm and pull down a big, strong kid in Zach Hackbart. So a loss of four on the play. Nice defensive play there by Woodman. Inside at 10 minutes to go, 29-16, down by 13 are the Pirates. They're in the shotgun. Hackbart, time to throw. Steps up, has a man, but can't make the connection with Billy Smith, and it falls incomplete.
Initial time to throw, if I can say it, correct. However, in this case, Elwood only had two men out in the pattern because they had to hold more men back to block. So in this case, Elwood didn't send as many receivers as they normally would because they read that blitz coming from Kennesaw, and that's how they had the time to throw.
And again, a couple of blockers out there are 170, 185 pounds, and they're trying to keep out kids that are 220 and 245. So a little size advantage here for Kennesaw. It's going to be third and 14 from the 36, and just on the snap, there is a flag down. And Elwood is applauding here. There was some movement up front. I'm not sure who moved first.
The first defender to move was the defensive, but he didn't make contact, and so that caused the left tackle for Elwood to jump.
It is going to be a legal procedure here on the Pirates. So the ball right at the 40-yard line, so right at midfield are the Pirates, who trail at 29-16, 9:38 to go. Clock has stopped, third and 17. And in the shotgun is going to be Hackbart. Hackbart, time to throw. Steps up, looks that left side. Diving catch made by Smith. It's going to be short of the first down, but that's going to get about 10 of the 17 yards that they need and sets up now fourth and seven.
And again, you mentioned earlier, Randy, time to throw. In this case, Elwood had three receivers out in the pattern. So Smith had the opportunity to make that catch, but he didn't have the opportunity to advance it because the defender was right there.
Actually got a little bit more than I thought on that spot. It's going to be fourth and six. Inside at 9 minutes to go here in the football game. 29-16. Elwood is down by two scores, and they have it at the 29-yard line. Shotgun for Hackbart. Pressure coming. Throws. Pass is complete. Right at the first down stick, Skyler Werger slips through there and is down at the 15-yard line. And that's going to be more than enough for the first down.
Right at the sticks was absolutely correct, Randy. And then he turned to his right, got that ball to the 15-yard line, and that's what got him the first down. He would not have gotten it initially when he came down, but he made a move just as he did it. Looked like they're spotting it maybe now at the 15-and-a-half, 16-yard line. But that late move got him the first down.
So first and 10 from the 15-yard line. Under center is Hackbart. He's going to hand the ball off to Smith. Smith, nowhere to go, busting it up from his linebacker position is Preston Snitzler.
Sometimes you're in the right place at the right time, Randy, and in this case, Snitzler, we know he's fast. We know he's strong. We know he's got good balance, and in this case, they just had a blitz going to that side, and he ran right into the ball carrier.
I don't know if that was a run blitz, but it certainly worked into that running play, as now Hackbart will be in under center. Two tight ends, I formation. Hackbart fakes the handoff, rolls to his left, will step, will throw, has a man. Can he make the completion? No, just overthrowing the intended receiver, Delton Omer.
Kennesaw was in man coverage, and Elwood had the exact right play you want because you had two men in the pattern. You had one man on the right side doing a five-yard post. The next guy was on the left side doing a 10-yard post. And when you run your defenders into each other, you can't pick them. But in this case, if they just happen to run into each other, that's perfectly legal. It's exactly what Elwood did.
And Elwood's going to call a timeout here, facing third and 12 from the 17-yard line. They call the timeout, brought to you by Nebraska Land National Bank. We'll take the timeout with them. 7:53 to go, fourth quarter, 29-16. Elwood down by 13. They'll have it at the 17-yard line. We come back right after this.
Face it, it's hard to watch your second highest investment get the hell beat out of it, and you can't do anything about it. So when all hell breaks loose, call the Dent Popper, Kearney's only local paintless dent repair company since 1991. With paintless dent repair, not only does it cost less, involves no painting, and in most cases, it's done the same day, keeping the value of your car and saving you time. So when all hell breaks loose, call or stop by the Dent Popper for your free estimate, 2014 First Avenue on the Bricks in downtown Kearney.
Welcome back to the Nebraska Land National Bank broadcast booth. Local people, local decisions, local ownership. Nebraska Land National Bank member FDIC, 29-16. Kennesaw has a lead. Elwood has the opportunity to cut this lead in half here. They've got it third down and 12. Little screen pass. No, they're going to throw the ball deep, and they've got a man out there, out for Smith. It is incomplete. Great coverage over there. And there was a little bit of contact, but I don't think that it's enough to warrant a flag. There was real good coverage on that outside.
I don't know how you could call could throw a flag on that play. Number 10, Keaton Harpton, had the absolute perfect coverage there. As you said, there was a little bit of contact there, incidental at best. It was a great throw. It was a great break on the ball for the receiver, but in that case, the defender just had the right position.
So well-defensed, and now it's going to be fourth and 12. Get the first down. You're in great shape to get the touchdown to make it a one-possession game. Shotgun formation for Hackbart. Pressure coming. Throws. Has a man. Caught. Touchdown. Skyler Werger.
That was a gutsy call for Kennesaw because they had man coverage on the outside. They didn't have anybody deep because they shot him up the middle. Any quarterback knows you cannot throw with pressure up the middle. Kennesaw brought pressure up the middle. It just didn't get there quick enough.
17th touchdown of the season for Skyler Werger. And with 7:42 to go, it's a seven-point ball game pending the extra point coming up here for the Pirates.
There's an old sports phrase, what really isn't that old, but for a lot of us that follow sports, Randy, get your popcorn ready because we got a seven-point ball game. Both teams have two timeouts. 7:42, we're lining up for a two-point conversion.
Second straight touchdown of the second half here for Elwood. Hackbart rolls out, throws it to that left side. It's caught. Did he get the pylon? No.
But we have a penalty flag.
There is a flag down.
In the defensive backfield. We might have a little bit of a defensive holding here on Kennesaw.
And there's a spring in the step of the receiver out there, Delton Omer. He thinks he drew the penalty. They are pointing toward the Blue Devil. So that'll back him up half the distance to the goal line. So instead of the conversion coming from the three, it'll be from a yard and a half away. And the try for two, again, in the hands of Zach Hackbart and the Pirates.
And if Kennesaw needed to be worried at 3 yards, they really need to be worried now about a yard and a half because now anything Elwood wants to do is theirs.
And again, they're going to go out of the pistol formation. Hackbart's got a lead blocker trying to get that pylon. A little stiff arm, a lot of blue hats there, and they're going to keep him short of the goal line.
That play took forever to develop on Elwood's part. As he was rolling through, he had split backs, as you said, a ball carrier to his left and a ball carrier to his right. As he went to the left, he didn't pitch it. He kept it himself. The running back to his right had to cross in front of him in order to be a blocker. That play just took too long to develop with a yard and a half out.
But that touchdown catch by Skyler Werger makes it a one-possession game. It's 29-22, 7:42 to go. A 7-point lead for Kennesaw, and Elwood will be kicking off. We come back after this.
Water is Nebraska's most precious natural resource, and for over 40 years, Elko Incorporated has kept the water flowing. It all starts with Elko pumps and power units. Reliable, powerful, affordable equipment that brings water to a parched land. Elko also has irrigation pipe and pipe trailers to get the water exactly where you need it most. Gravity irrigation is still the most down-to-earth solution to your water needs, and Elko is your one-stop shop. Elko Incorporated of Elwood. Call us at 785-2930 or online at elkoinc.com.
Well, we've got a seven-point ball game with 7:42 to go. Two scores for Elwood here in the fourth quarter, and they've made it 29-22, and the Pirates will kick the ball back here to the Blue Devils. And again, they're going to try to kick the ball away from Snitzler, and they effectively do so by kicking it out of bounds. But again, with the penalty, it'll be fairly good field position coming up here for the Blue Devils, but it's not a touchdown.
With all of the stats that we track, one thing we haven't been tracking is kickoffs out of bounds so far. But my guess is, what, 6 of 9, something like that, would be out of bounds because the vast majority have been out of bounds. Some have been slips on the plant leg, and that one was simply kicked straight out of bounds.
So the ball will be at the 25-yard line. First and 10 coming up here for Kennesaw. Snitzler under center is going to hand the ball off, and not much room to run there for Isaiah McChesney. And McChesney gets back to the line of scrimmage, and that's going to be about it. And he's hurt.
Hitting that hole hard for Elwood was number 31, John Anderson. Came from the weak side and had a little run blitz going on there and absolutely hit the hole hard, blew that play up.
And he's having a lot of difficulty putting weight on that right leg, and I don't know if that – I think it's the ankle there, but he's going to have to come out of the game as really he can't put much weight on that leg at all. This injury report brought to you by Family Physical Therapy. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center getting you back in the game of life with two locations in Kearney. And if you're Kennesaw, you can't get – that clock to move fast enough. You're up by 7, but you've lost Austin Snitzler, your leading rusher on the year, as we think it's a concussion. And now Isaiah McChesney having difficulty putting any weight on that right leg, and it appears that they might be a cramp. Shotgun formation here for Snitzler. Snitzler is going to have a couple of lead blockers, going to keep it himself, tries to get the outside, does. There is a flag down, which I think is a hold. Skyler Werger is able to help force him out of bounds near the first down marker, but that is going to be coming back all of it because the hold was right at the point of attack.
That was a textbook hold there. If you're going to hold somebody, make it good enough for the film, because in that case, the outside tackle on the left side of the Kennesaw line knew that he was beat, rotated his man, and you cannot do that. It was an easy hold to call. That's the reason he was able to get to that edge.
Don't forget that the CPI Mr. Tire scoreboard show coming up at the conclusion of our post game. Right now, Boone Central, Newman Grove leading Norfolk Catholic 26-16. That game is in the fourth quarter. Elsewhere, it's Ravenna leading Centura 36-14. They're in the fourth quarter as well. We'll deliver the scores. Valentino's delivers right to your door. Valentino's, home of the Grand Italian Buffet. Come in before and after the game or for one of their great pizzas. You can carry out at Valentino's Delivers in the Kearney area. Get yours tonight, Valentino's, North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Quick little run to the right side after that 10-yard penalty, and not much room at all there as the Elwood defense is fired up.
You really have to wonder about the Kennesaw mindset right now. You've lost your senior, your leading rusher, your leading yard gainer. Now you've lost your number one D-back, and again, number 11 was a captain. So you've lost two key players now for Kennesaw. How much more focus is Kennesaw going to have for the remaining 6:34 and counting when that lead, which was once 21, has now dwindled to 7?
Keaton Harpin checking in is telling his quarterback, Preston Snitzler, what the play is. And I always wonder, when your brothers and they're a tight football family, how does Preston respond to his older brother Austin being out of the game? And we'll have a chance to talk about that here because Kennesaw calls the timeout. This timeout brought to you by Nebraska Land National Bank. Take time out to find out what Nebraska Land National Bank can do for you. 29-22, 6:18 to go, fourth quarter, 7-point lead for Kennesaw. Blue Devils call timeout facing 3rd and 17. We'll find out what they have in mind. We come back after this.
The game is more fun to watch with Fanatics. Fanatics Sports Bar in Kearney, that is, and now there's even more Fanatics to love. The new addition nearly doubles the room inside, and the bullpen combines the great outdoors with great seats to the game. Follow the Huskers and your other favorite teams on over 30 high-def TVs, including two huge HD projection screens. Treat yourself to a wide variety of appetizers, sandwiches, pizza, wings, burgers, and even a kids menu that will make you stand up and cheer. Football is more fun with Fanatics. Fanatics, a block north of the tracks on Central Avenue in Kearney.
And welcome back here to Elwood as the Pirates right now have the momentum. A couple of injuries for the Blue Devils and kind of just circling the wagons right now are the Kennesaw Blue Devils as they're facing third and 17 at their own 18-yard line. So we'll see what they have in mind after they come out of the timeout.
And they had in mind to send nine guys on the field. Coming out of the timeout, two things you never want to see is a delay of game or too many men in the huddle. And in this case, again, that focus for Kennesaw that we talked about right before the break, how focused can Kennesaw be? And in this case, they ran one more guy on. That same guy just ran on the field, turned around, and came right back off. So Kennesaw is reeling right now.
But didn't get in the huddle, so there will not be a penalty here after the five-yarder. Snitzler has a little time to throw. Now is scrambling out a little bit. Help is coming, and he's going to be sacked. Bit of a coverage sack there, but then stepping up is Cole Remiga, and Remiga comes up there, and actually it'll be a gain of about 2 yards after Remiga got up there. So it won't be a sack, but that's still pretty good defensive play there by Remiga.
Great decision-making there by the junior Snitzler because he dropped back. He went through three separate receivers in his progression. Couldn't find anybody. Broke down. Obviously, he's a good runner. He used that skill, that talent, to be able to salvage something out of nothing. When you're third and deep, the only thing you don't want is fourth and deep. He was able to get a little bit of a yard, a little bit of a gain of yardage, but it wasn't a sack.
Snitzler standing at the three-yard line, gets the snap. Now he'll punt the football. It is a high kick. And it's going to hit the turf, and then picking it up here is going to be Billy Smith. Smith at the 25, cuts back to around the 30 to about the 35-yard line, and that's going to be first and 10 for the Pirates. 5:20 to go in the fourth quarter. They trail it 29-22, have pretty good field position as it's about the 35-yard line. And, again, they've got momentum. They have scored two straight touchdowns here in the second half and have been able to keep Kennesaw off the board, in part because Kennesaw has lost their leading rusher, Austin Snitzler, due to an injury. And one of the other I-backs, Isaiah McChesney, also out of the ball game. So, right now, Kennesaw a little thin, and you know that's going to impact them on defense as well. Under center is going to be Zach Hackbart. Hackbart will hand the ball off. No, he loses the ball, and it's on the ground. And, whoa, Zach Hackbart had a fortunate bounce there. He took it out of the belly of Billy Smith and then was going to pitch it out on kind of a end-around kind of option here, and it bounced right back to him. They lost a yard. They're fortunate they didn't lose a football.
Hackbart should go buy himself a lottery ticket tonight because as that ball fell on the ground, it could have bounced one way. If it would have bounced toward the Kennesaw defender, Kennesaw's got the ball, but in this case, the ball happened to bounce right back up into his belly.
And he used a little bit of strength as he's being tackled to get to the football. Out of the shotgun, Hackbart has time. Now pressure coming, slips through one tackler, stiff arms, and then is going to be pulled down by Carson Woodman.
That was a very nice textbook play by Woodman because he read the play from his outside defensive end position, came across the field to make that play. And as he's pursuing, he's looking the whole time at the potential running back, didn't get the ball. As he then made the tackle, he made a good, sure tackle with his helmet on the ball.
In two plays, Kennesaw has been able to knock back Elwood 5 yards. So 5 yards and losses here for the Pirates makes it third and 15 as the ball is at the 30-yard line. They got across midfield and get it just short of the 35. Shotgun formation for Hackbart. Hackbart rolling, facing some pressure, throws, has a man. It's going to be caught by Werger. Werger slips out that left side, has the sideline, and has a first down as he's going to be knocked down at about the 25-yard line.
Werger came from across that formation. That was a very long developing play. You had one receiver on the other side, on the left side, that came and ran a 15-yard drag route. And then you had Werger that came and ran about a 7-yard drag route from the other way. And again, we saw them do a little rub earlier on the defenders. And initially, when Werger turned toward the middle of the field, he was not open. And then as Hackbart moving to his left, waiting for something to happen, it did. Werger was able to work himself open for a big gain.
Timeout taken here by Elwood. They call the timeout. This timeout brought to you by Nebraska Land National Bank. Take timeout to find out what Nebraska Land National Bank can do for you. Local people, local decisions, local ownership. Nebraska Land National Bank. Member FDIC. 3:50 to go. Fourth quarter. 29-22. Kennesaw has the lead. Elwood has the momentum, the football, and first and 10 from the 24-yard line. When we come back right after this.
Golden Harvest brand offers some of the highest yielding corn hybrids of any seed company in this area, and they're protected by some of the most advanced trait technology in the industry. Take G11U58, for example, which has superb drought tolerance and Earflex, available in AgriSure Viptera or Easy Refuge, or 28U7 soybeans, which have outstanding yield performance across many environments. Talk to Brent Woodman in Kennesaw today. Brent and Sarah wish all of our athletes good luck. Always read and follow label instructions before buying or using Syngenta products.
Hackbart in under center is going to hand it off to Billy Smith, and a great defensive play by the Blue Devils. Coming up through there is Preston Snitzler.
Snitzler is great on offense, and we've seen him now make two absolutely bone-crushing tackles on defense. So we talked earlier about what his mindset is going to be with his brother out. He sure is exercising some of those demons on defense.
And his older brother does not have a helmet right now. They've taken it away from him. Hackbart's going to roll out. He throws. He's hit. It's wobbling. It's in the air and nearly stolen by Delton Ulmer. It falls incomplete at the 5-yard line. It was underthrown because Hackbart could not step up to make the throw. And a great play there by Ulmer to at least break it up.
And your comment about not being able to step up and make the throw is absolutely accurate. When the receiver went to break, he was wide open. And unfortunately, Hackbart couldn't step up. Why? Because he had pressure up the middle. And in this case, Hackbart threw off of his back foot. The pass wobbled and just couldn't get there.
Hackbart's 25th pass of the night falls incomplete, and it's going to be third and 12 from the 26. Hackbart. Pressure coming, throws, lobs it up high, and it is incomplete. Werger had stopped on his pattern and then restarted, and the timing off just by about a yard as that one falls incomplete. Werger found an open area, but Hackbart didn't find him early enough.
That was something in that play that just never worked from the beginning, because as Hackbart dropped back, he didn't really pump fake, but he rotated his shoulder forward like he wanted to pump fake and then moved to his left. And then by then, the coverage had broken down, and he was able to make the throw, but he wasn't able to step into it again because Kennesaw was getting pressure, this time from the outside.
Huge play coming up here. Kennesaw understands that. Elwood understands that because they call a timeout, brought to you by Nebraska Land National Bank. With 3:09 to go in the football game, they're facing 4th and 12 from the 26-yard line. They trail it by 7, 29-22. The Pirates call a timeout. We'll take it with them. We're back after this.
Berg Insurance in Kennesaw has your crops, farm, home, and autos covered. See Berg Insurance Company in Kennesaw. They've been protecting this area for over 50 years in a relaxing and friendly environment. Berg Insurance is a very proud supporter of all the area high school sports and would like to wish the athletes the very best of luck. Berg Insurance in Kennesaw. Relax, we've got you covered.
Well, big play coming up here. If Elwood can get the first down, they would have that momentum. They would have a great chance with 3:09 to go. If Kennesaw can hold here, especially since Elwood had to take a couple of timeouts, Elwood may very well get the ball back, but they won't have a lot of time.
This is the stuff movies are made of, Randy, because you're facing 4th and 12 on your opponent's 26. Down 7, 3:09 left to go in the game on senior night here in Elwood.
Hackbart, now the shotgun, gets the snap. Pressure coming, throws it in coverage. It's caught. Is it enough for the first down? I think it is. Leaning up there is going to be Billy Smith. And Smith gets it across the 10-yard line. It'll be first and 10.
Get your pen and paper ready, Randy. We're going to write a script here in Elwood, America tonight, because that was a very long developing play. I realize that not everybody has a whole lot in your game plan for 4th and 12, but in that case, the receiver had to come from the far side of the field. It took him forever to get there, but when he did, he got the ball, and he still had to make 2 yards after contact to get a first down.
So it'll be right at the 10-yard line. Shotgun formation for Hackbart. First down. He's rolling to his left. He's going to lob it in the end zone. A diving attempt for the catch, and it is incomplete. Good pressure there on the quarterback by Wyatt Woodman. That's why Hackbart was backing up and really couldn't put anything on it because he couldn't step up.
Hackbart was looking one way the entire way, and he was looking at his receiver the entire way, and that allowed the defensive back to get over there and reestablish his position because originally he was beat, and then that allowed him to be able to catch up just a little bit.
2:52 to go here in the football game. 29-22, 7-point lead for Kennesaw. First and essentially goal here for Elwood. Pass was incomplete, so now it's second and goal. Shotgun formation for Hackbart. Hackbart has the opportunity to throw in that corner, and it's incomplete. He was looking again for Billy Smith. Coverage was pretty good, and he threw it in a safe area. It's going to be third and 10.
That was pretty much the same play they ran just last time. It was a different receiver in that area. But what you had is you had the same receiver pattern. You had a different receiver player, but you had the same defender coming off the edge there for Kennesaw. So in this case, it was the same result for Elwood.
Well, they've dropped the stick, so it is third and goal, but it is a full 10 yards that they need here after two incomplete passes. Clock stop with 2:50 to go. Elwood has to hustle. Now that five-second countdown going on. Shotgun formation. Hackbart gets it in time. Steps up, throws into the end zone, and it's going to be incomplete. He was trying to get it in that back corner there for Delton Omer, and it falls incomplete. And now it's going to be fourth and goal from the 10.
That was a broken play from the beginning because Hackbart never looked comfortable as he was dropping back. In this case, the receiver on the left side, Omer, was wide open. Unfortunately, when he broke 2 yards deep in the end zone, he broke to his left. Hackbart threw it to where he would have been if he had broke to his right. So there was a mix-up there from the beginning.
So fourth and 10. And the Kennesaw side making noise. The Elwood side's been making noise much of this drive. And another fourth down opportunity here for both teams. Shotgun formation for Hackbart. Fourth and goal. Pump fake. Rolling to his left. Throws. He's lobbing it in the end zone. And it's caught! Touchdown! Skylerwerger!
If you were going to ride it, Randy, you couldn't ride it anymore. You had two straight plays that were identical with different players. It doesn't work. You have a bad play on third down. And on this case, again, Kennesaw playing gutsy. You had man coverage in your defensive backfield. You had pressure up the middle. Hackbart threw that ball off his back foot, threw it up there on a wing and a prayer, and it got answered for the Pirates.
Still work to do. It is a one-point ball game with 2:29 to go. Two-point conversion coming up here for the Pirates. They need it to take the lead. If they don't get it, now that puts an entirely different spin. You might even see an onside kick.
And here's your
they
back.
They may not
judge
have time
chopping
to get it off.
You bet.
Let's go!
Shotgun formation. They have a timeout if they want to use it. And they get the snap off, or do they? Illegal procedure. They were running out of time. And if they don't snap it the way they did, they probably would have got a delay of game penalty. As it stands, it's going to back them up 5 yards. But remember, now they're 8 yards away. They just scored from 10 yards away on fourth down and goal.
Screenwriter hasn't finished his script yet. And if you're Kennesaw, the intensity from their coaching staff and the intensity from their players is incredible. You've got both sides here on a make-or-break play here late in the game.
Hackbart, out of the shotgun. Time to throw. Pump fake rolls to his left. Now he has to lob it in the end zone, hope for something good, and it's going to be short of the end zone and falls incomplete. And so Kennesaw still has the lead. 29-28, 2:29 to go in the fourth quarter. The comeback not complete yet for the Pirates, and we'll see if they decide to onside kick it here. And if Kennesaw, injured, can run out the clock, still one more chapter to write in this football game, but the lead is won for the Blue Devils, and they'll get their football, or at least they'll kick toward them when we come back right after this timeout.
I have always said that I'm a Nebraska Farm Bureau member because it gives me, as a farmer, a voice in the legislature and in Washington, D.C. But did you know what your Buffalo County Farm Bureau does for you in your own backyard? By giving scholarships to local kids, supporting the Buffalo County Fair and 4-H programs, or tackling zoning concerns and other local issues. Farm Bureau starts right here. That's why I'm a proud Farm Bureau member.
Call Buffalo County Farm Bureau and rediscover your grassroots power.
Well, three straight touchdowns here for Elwood, including two of them here in the fourth quarter, but they missed two-point conversion. Makes your score 29-28. Kennesaw still has the lead, and now Elwood has to kick off. And with no timeouts left, I had him with one, but apparently there's no timeouts left, and now Elwood will be kicking off, and I'm sure we'll see an onside kick here by Skyler Werger. Werger's teeing it up. Kennesaw's playing with the hands team, as they've got a lot of guys between the 40 and the 32-yard line. It is an onside kick. Takes a nice bounce. It's in the open area, and one of the backs, the deep backs, is able to kind of come up there and cover that football and smother it. And who else would you think? It's actually Tyson Burr. I thought it was eight for a moment, but it's Tyson Burr. Once Burr stood up, I realized he's not as big as number eight. So the freshman makes a big play here. Tyson Burr, the 135-pound freshman, is able to cover that ball at about the 30-yard line. So the onside kick doesn't work. And Kennesaw will try to work off 2:29 off the clock, 2:39 rather. Shotgun formation for Snitzler, and Snitzler's going to keep it, and he's going to get back in the line of scrimmage, and that's going to be about it.
Elwood was selling out there with a run blitz, and they brought it from what ended up being the backside of that play with Kennesaw running to their left. And now we've got a clock stoppage here. Now they're going to reset it and roll the clock.
Gained about a yard. And I think everybody was tangled up, which is why they stopped it. If everybody, you know, they're trying to be as fair as they can on both sides. And Kennesaw has a timeout left here. If they want to work a little clock and then work it down to the final throws of it and then call a timeout, they've got it now second and a full nine, 2 minutes to go. Countdown going on. And a bad snap. Snitzler is able to pick it up. And that's going to be it. In fact, it was not Sitzler at quarterback. They changed it up. Keaton Harpen was playing quarterback there, took the snap, and they had a problem with the exchange and lost about a yard and a half, and that could have been disaster for Kennesaw.
It just about was for Kennesaw, as you said, Randy. And when Keaton took the ball, he wanted to move a little bit early. I don't know how many snaps he's taken this season, but that's his first snap that he's taken so far this game. So he's not really comfortable yet in that position. And Kennesaw here is facing third and 11. Not necessarily that they get the first down, but they still have to work off as much clock as possible, and now we have a timeout on the field.
Yeah, Kennesaw is going to call the timeout.
That's
because, again, they were in the shotgun and thinking maybe pass, maybe they're rethinking it, maybe they saw something they want to do. In any event, this timeout is brought to you by Nebraska Land National Bank. Take time out to find out what Nebraska Land National Bank can do for you. Local people, local decisions, local ownership. Nebraska Land National Bank, member FDIC. Third and 11 from their own 28, leading it 29-28 with a minute 23 to go. Kennesaw calls the timeout. We'll be back right after this.
The Kennesaw Market is an Affiliated Foods Midwest store. The Kennesaw Market is your hometown grocer, stocking SureFine and SureFresh products. The Kennesaw Market also has a dining area serving daily lunch specials, dine-in or carry-out. The Kennesaw Market is open from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, and 11:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Sundays. They appreciate your business at the Kennesaw Market, 210 North Smith Avenue in Kennesaw. The Kennesaw Market is a proud supporter of all the Kennesaw athletes, teams, and coaches.
Well, another big play here, a minute 23 to go in the game, and if Kennesaw does not get a first down here, Elwood will get the ball back with about 50 seconds or so in the game. Under center is going to be Snitzler. Out of the eye, they hand it off. Snitzler will bust off to the right side, gain about 7 yards. I misspoke. It was Harpham that was at quarterback. Snitzler was deep in the eye, and he got about 7 yards, but they needed 11, so it's going to be fourth and four. You roll the dice here if you're Kennesaw, because if you get a first down, game's over.
If you get a first down, the game is over. But by the same token, if you don't get it, you set Elwood up at about your 35-yard line. That's the reason we're paid to be up here and the coaches are paid to be down there. Honestly, if I'm Kennesaw, I'm punting the ball, and it looks like they're lining up to do just that.
It's probably the safest play here. Preston Snitzler, the punter, and there is a whistle. And it's going to be a delay of game penalty. Now, if they were thinking about doing something else, I think that thought would be gone. they're thinking about a fake of some sort. That thought is now out of their mind, I would assume, because it's going to be a full fourth and 10 here from their own 30-yard line. But they worked off as much time as they can, and we're down to 42.3. Snitzler gets the snap, puts the foot into it. It's a high kick. And picking it up here is going to be Billy Smith. Smith lets it bounce, now picks up with it, makes one man miss, has it at the 25, now is able to slip out to the right side, and it'll be about the 28-yard line. So they need to cover 52 yards here in 30.2 seconds with no timeouts left.
That was the absolute gamut of emotions there because Billy Smith lost the ball in the lights. He turned around, reacquired the ball. The ball bounced and hit him. He reached down, picked the ball up, and then all of a sudden he looked up, and he had a wall of blockers in front of him. So we went from despair on the Elwood side to having a wall of blockers set up for him.
Zach Hackbart has thrown it 31 times. Then they have a little wing back pass as they were trying to reverse, and it falls incomplete. They had Werger coming around and had Werger throwing the ball deep, trying to get it to Delton Omer, and it falls incomplete.
It's the first wing back pass I have ever seen in my football life, Randy, where the wing back throwing the ball actually goes through a progression of receivers. Usually in that case, he's looking to throw it to one guy, and in that case, he was looking to throw it either back to Hackbart or, in this case, deep downfield.
I like that play,
yes.
But I don't know if it caught them off guard in the sense that they knew they were going to have to throw the football.
Kennesaw played great defense, and that receiver was covered.
Hackbart will be in under center, 23.6 to go, down by a point. They're going to pitch it back. They're going to give it right back out here to Billy Smith. Smith now, he's looking to throw, and he's going to be sacked. And now they're going to have to hurry.
Sometimes when you empty out the
12
playbook.
12 seconds to go.
Sometimes when you empty out the playbook, Randy, it's a really good idea because you catch the defense off guard. In this case,
now six.
You catch yourself off guard.
And they're going to clock it on third and a lot. And they're going to say that the exchange was fumbled, and that's going to do it. They had a problem with the exchange, and it was not a clock. It was a fumble, and that's going to end the game. What a bizarre ending here. As they wanted to throw an incomplete pass but had problems with the exchange, and they called a fumble instead, and that will do it. They would have needed a miraculous play of 50, well, it actually been about 65 yards there. Instead, it ends in a strange fashion. What a great football game tonight, but Elwood falls at home 29-28 to Kennesaw.
Randy, we talked earlier about how the starting center for Elwood had to go out with an injury, and then you brought in a backup. And in that case, the backup had played admirably. But one of the things you talk about when you bring up a backup in is when you have that center quarterback exchange. And in this case, when nerves are running high and that extra bit of adrenaline and you're under the clock, literally, as you said, we had 6 seconds, 3 seconds left to go. The snap had to be perfect. And in this case, the snap was fumbled. I couldn't see if it was the center or the quarterback, but somewhere in that exchange, you have all of this. And this is one of the great things about high school football here in the middle of America, Randy. After a game like this, where you crown a division or a district champion, you now have one with one loss, one with two loss. Here in senior night, everybody is out at midfield on a knee saying a word.
Well, a great football game, a lot of respect between these two programs. The coaches really like each other, respect each other, had a lot of positive things to say about their football, the other football teams before this game, and certainly will have some nice things to say afterwards as we're hoping to be able to speak with both head coach Kevin Malberg and Craig Snitzler for Kennesaw as Kennesaw wins at 29-28. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll have the New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery's postgame show coming up. Right after this.
He's at the 30, 20, 10, 10, touchdown. The home team wins.
When you're looking for someone to throw you a winning touchdown, contact your hometown team, the Kroll Agency for Protection, written through IMT or Wadena Insurance. They'll help you customize an insurance plan for you. Call the Kroll Agency in Minden, Kennesaw, Hastings, and Roseland. The IMT Group and you, a team that can't be beat.
If you love good home cooking, but hate the dishes, come down to C&D Restaurant in Elwood. C&D fills the plate with great food 7 days a week. There's noon specials Sunday through Friday, a full dinner menu from 5 to 7 Monday through Saturday, and bring the whole family there for Sunday lunch serve 10:30 to 1:30. Comfort food at a comfortable price. C&D Restaurant on Highway 23, just a block west of 283 in Elwood. Good home cooking without the dishes. C&D Restaurant in Elwood.
Water is Nebraska's most precious natural resource, and for over 40 years, Elko Incorporated has kept the water flowing. It all starts with Elko pumps and power units. Reliable, powerful, affordable equipment that brings water to a parched land. Elko also has irrigation pipe and pipe trailers to get the water exactly where you need it most. Gravity irrigation is still the most down-to-earth solution to your water needs, and Elko is your one-stop shop. Elko Incorporated of Elwood. Call us at 785-2930 or online at elkoinc.com.
And welcome back here to the Nebraska Land National Bank broadcast booth. So glad you could join us for a great football game tonight, won by Kennesaw, but by the thinnest of margins, 29-28, after three straight scores for Elwood in that second half. They go for the two-point conversion, don't get it, and folks, that is the ball game, 29-28. Let's give you the scoring summary. We'll begin, first of all, for Kennesaw. Very late in the first quarter, Austin Snitzler had a five-yard run. Preston Snitzler then had a two-point conversion. That made it 8-0. The very next play from scrimmage, Billy Smith took it 52 yards on a run right up the middle, bounced it to the outside. The two-point conversion from Hackbart to Skyler Werger, that pass was complete. Good for the 2 points, and it was 8-8. And then very early on in the second quarter, then Preston Snitzler again on a 48-yard run. Austin with a two-point conversion made it 16-8. Kennesaw's next draw, Austin Snitzler, 6 on the try for two was no good. That made it 22-8. And then before halftime, Preston's 3-yard run, Austin hit the kick for a 29-8 lead. And that 20-point advantage, very important. 21-point advantage, because actually that extra point was the difference in the football game. Second half, the only team that scored was Elwood, and it started with a great pass from Zach Hackbart to Billy Smith, a 38-yard pass. The try for two was good when Hackbart was able to hit Werger with the two-point conversion. That made it 29-16 in the third quarter. In the fourth, Hackbart hit Skyler Werger again, a 19-yard pass. The extra point was no good. That made it 29-22. And then Hackbart again hit Werger on fourth and goal from the 10. They went for two, did not get it. And your final, 29-28, in what really was a well-played, very energetic, very tight football game. And for Kennesaw, you know, they had that nice advantage, and then Austin Snitzler went out of the game, really kind of got them reeling, as offensively, Kennesaw didn't get a whole lot done in the second half and had to hold on for dear life, and they were able to do it.
One of the things that people so often talk about with regards to eight-man football is the offense. And everybody is talking about it. And honestly, we thought it. I even said it midway through the second quarter. Katie barred the door. I thought we were going to see an offensive explosion. One of the things that oftentimes people forget about is the defense. And so many times throughout this game, we saw a defender make a play, whether it was pressure from the outside or a good sure tackle or a pressure from the inside or an outstanding defensive play in the backfield to take away a pass completion. So many times on both sides of the ball. And as we said earlier, if we were ready to write the script, it was going to be a great comeback for Elwood. But Kennesaw had its own script in mind. Kennesaw was going to be able to hang around just long enough, make the right play on defense. Snitzler went out and McChesney went out. So they've got two key players, major contributors, captains on their offense and defense that couldn't play for the last 8 minutes, 9 minutes of the ball game. But yet Kennesaw found a way to win. Credit them for the way they played this fourth quarter.
Let's give you some numbers here for Kennesaw, who wins this game 29-28. Preston Snitzler carried the ball 23 times for 171 yards. Keaton Harpham carried the ball twice for no yards. Isaiah McChesney, who also got injured in this game, injured that leg, and so he only carried the ball 2 times for 3 yards. Austin Snitzler, we mentioned, was injured fairly early in the third quarter, finished with 27 yards in the second half, so a grand total of 120 yards for him on 20 carries tonight. So 47 rushes for Kennesaw for 294 yards. Pretty solid there, but most of that was done in the first half. Preston Preston Sensler was 2 of 3 passing in the football game for 15 yards, and that's all the offense for Kennesaw, who wins it 29-28. Zach Hackbart ran the ball 21 times for 52 yards. A couple yards rushing here for Blake Teedy on 2 carries. Billy Smith had 6 carries for 48 yards, including a 52-yard touchdown pass. And passing the ball, Hackbart unofficially had him 16 of 31 for 215 yards. His leading receiver was Skyler Werger, who caught 8 balls for 139 yards here in the football game. This sports wrap-up brought to you by Buffalo County Farm Bureau. Everything you need covered, wrapped up in one great insurance agent, Buffalo County Farm Bureau in Kearney. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll continue with more of the New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery post-game show, and we'll talk with the coaches coming up right after this.
Is back pain keeping you from doing the activities you enjoy? Is hip, knee, or ankle pain making even the shortest walks difficult? Is hand, wrist, or finger pain making you cut tasks short or take frequent pauses? New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery is here to tell you that you don't have to live with the pain. With training in a wide range of specialties, New West has the doctor to get you back into the game. Schedule your appointment today. No referral is necessary. All major insurances accepted.
Kelly Tucker has worked at Anderson Brothers for over 30 years. He encouraged his kids to check out college and something else.
Come see us. We'll train you. That's what we've been good at doing. I've always said that Anderson Brothers is more like a college. And that's why I call it Anderson Brothers College, because we do train a lot of people. And they can take that anywhere they go. And there's good wages. There really are. You got to work for it, but there's good wages.
Check out the career options at Anderson Brothers Electric, Plumbing, and Heating in Kearney and Holdridge.
And welcome back here. Your final in Elwood, 29-28, Kennesaw with the win. A great comeback here for the Pirates, just falling just a little bit short. You're listening to the New West Sports Medicine and Orthopedic Surgery postgame show. Certified and fellowship-trained physicians provided superior standard of care with no referral necessary. No matter the activity, New West is here to get you back into it. Schedule your appointment today. Elwood at one point trailed by 21 points. And they got 20 of them and just were a little bit short, had a chance with the two-point conversion fairly late in the football game to win it. So a very disappointing loss here for Kevin Malberg and the Elwood Pirates, but the coach is kind enough to join us. And this really was a great football game, Kevin. Your guys showed a lot of resilience coming back in that second half.
Yeah, I was really proud of our kids. We were down 29-8 at halftime, and we told them we got the ball to start the second half, and if we could just come down and score and, you know, get back into the game and, you know, get back within 2 touchdowns. And in a game like this where you got 2 good teams, Kennesaw is a class act football team, and I was very proud of the way our kids came back. But it's little things that, you know, that really hurt you. There was one instance in the first half, I believe we were down 14-8 or something like that, and we had 4th and like a half a yard maybe at their 15-yard line, and we had snap over our quarterback's head, and yep. We had 4th down there. And then another time in the second half, I believe we were about at their 35-yard line, and we had 4th of inch and inches, and we dropped the snap and didn't get the first down there. But, you know, in terms of our team coming back and playing, the first quarter had been a great football game to watch. The second quarter, you know, we kind of gave up a lot of big plays. The thing that I think really hurt us in the second quarter is we didn't have very good punt coverage. They would get the ball, we'd punt, and I think the one time they ran it back to the 15, the other time they ran it to the 20. So that's putting a lot of pressure on your defense. But our kids were very resilient. I was real proud of them. From a fan point view, you know, I was talking to Coach Nitzler after the game. It would have been a fun game to stand on the sidelines and watch, you know, especially if you were neutral and just came down to watch the game. And you know, it was for the district title, and I guess it doesn't come down any closer to this. They're ranked 5th, we're ranked 8th, and so, you know, I think both teams proved themselves, we belong in the top 10.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that. The first half, Zach Hackbart throwing the ball 1 of 8, it seemed like every pass was off the fingertips, but the receivers were kind of finding some areas to get open in there. And then the second half is the Zach Hackbart that you've grown accustomed to, throwing for 208 yards in that second half. Talk about what was different and what Zach was able to, how he was able to respond, because obviously he came off the mat and played great in that second half.
Well, yeah, you know, the first half, you guys could see it as well as we could on the sideline. We had guys open down the middle of the field. We had guys open square outs, and Zach was just, you know, maybe 3 yards long on a post pattern or 2 yards too long on an out pattern. you know, and he was just off it. And I think and he's a confident player. You know, he's a senior, he's a 3-year starter, and he was just off on his passing game. And in the second half, you know, I think he got a confidence. We were running square out patterns. We were running a lot of V out patterns, and he was hitting his guys on the break. And we work on that a lot. You know, we want to throw the ball before the receivers make their break, and that's what he was doing more. I know Skyler had the most receptions, but Billy Smith had a lot of, like, 10-yard score outs just to get us to the first down and what we needed. And so Zach got a lot more confidence in the second half. And at the end, you know, they basically could run the clock out, and I had used all my timeouts basically because, you know, we needed to score to get a chance, and then we had that penalty, and then instead of for our extra point, instead of getting 3 yards, we needed 8, and we didn't get it. You know, the first one was just off of Billy's hands when we got to, I believe it was 22, that, you know, then one more point would have got us ahead. But, you know, extra points count. You know, last year we had an excellent field goal kicker. This year we don't, and that makes, you know, it just goes special how important specialty teams are, and, you know, their punt returns really hurt us. Snitzler kid, Austin Snitzler's, you know, I know you guys do a lot of games during the year, but I don't care what class, 8-man, 6-man, 11-man, I don't care what class they play. He's got to be one of the better running backs. You know, I believe he could play for anybody. He's a tough runner, and one guy doesn't bring him down.
Coach, you were down 21 at one point in the third quarter, and then you make that comeback in the late third and especially the middle, late part of the fourth quarter. Walk us through the last 8 minutes of the fourth quarter, because it seemed like you were able to find a rhythm. And in fact, on one of those two-point conversions, Hackbart made the first rhythm throw we saw him make all night long. Talk about that last 8 minutes as that team found that rhythm.
Well, you know, we were sitting there, and we knew that Skyler Orger, he's a great receiver. He had 8 receptions tonight, I believe, as he said, and he runs great routes. And what we want to do, and one of the really good extra point he had is when he just threw a little square out here for an extra point or a hook pattern that was to the outside shoulder of him. The last touchdown that got within 28, Skyler was supposed to do a square out. But what our receivers did well is, in terms of, instead of stopping after a pattern if they weren't open, they tried to go to an open area. And Zach has to scramble on that, you know. And so that's one thing that we preach to our receivers is, if you run a pattern, make sure you just don't stop and come back and help your quarterback. So, but Zach did get on a roll, you know, and I got to credit Skyler and Billy. They were catching the ball. We didn't drop many passes or anything like that. But the first half, as you said earlier, we were just off on passes. You could probably see it up as here. Here as easy as I could down there. We had guys open, but we just couldn't get them the ball. And our running game was basically nothing. Plays on extra points and stuff. But I was looking back to what we had tried. You know, usually we run the shotgun a lot of time and have Hackbart run straight ahead. But he wasn't getting any yards. Billy wasn't getting any yards on isolations. I think the only big run play we probably had would have been Billy Smith's first touchdown, and I'm not even sure how far it was running. Would have been the
52.
Only 52 yards would have been the only significant running play. We probably had the whole game.
Yeah, but again, that passing attack with Hackbart really looked very good in the second half. How do you respond for this with your kids? I mean, this is a tough loss for them heading into the state playoffs. Are you afraid of a residual effect as you guys will start in the playoffs next week?
No, you know, to be honest, Randy, I think that probably this, I mean, if we would have won, it'd been a great deal going into the playoffs, but even with this loss, I think our kids are proud of themselves and know that they can compete with, you know, the teams in the state. I think it's going to be, our kids are, you know, they're down. They're dissatisfied just like I am and stuff like that in terms, but, you know, the thing that I tell them before every game, and I told them again tonight, if you can walk out on that field and when the game's over and you tell yourself that you gave 100%, you have nothing to be ashamed of. But if at one time you went one play and didn't give 100%, you left the rest of your team down. And I don't think I saw that by any of our players tonight. And I think we're going to actually have a lot of momentum going into the playoffs just simply because it was a good football game. We played a good team. And we're going to learn a lot from it in terms of, instead of, you know, playing somebody that might have been 0-7 or 1-6, and we just walk through it and then basically get in first round of the playoffs, where you had a game the week before where there wasn't a lot of effort being used, where this was a tough four-quarter game for us, or four-quarter game for us, and that's what's going to happen in the playoffs. And our main goal is just take one step at a time. And I told them after the game, you know, we play Thursday, and I expect to play that following Wednesday, and I expect to play that following Tuesday, and just see how far down the road we can go.
Kevin, great effort tonight, 29-28. You guys fall, but a great game. Kevin.
All right, thanks a lot. Thanks for coming down and covering us.
Kevin Mollberg, the head coach of the Elwood Pirates, who fall to Kennesaw tonight here, 29-28. We're going to take just a real quick 30-second break here, and when we come back, we'll be talking with Kennesaw head coach Craig Snitzler. We'll do that as we continue with more of the New West Sports Medicine Orthopedic Surgery postgame show right after this.
Find a car, new or used, at www.crossroads-ford.com. Spot an SUV, crossroads-ford.com. Lasso a truck, crossroads-ford.com. Check on financing, crossroads-ford.com. Calculate your payment, crossroads-ford.com. That's www.crossroads-ford.com. Crossroads-ford.com.
Crossroads Ford, Lincoln Mercury.
And welcome back here, 29-28. A great win here tonight for the Kennesaw Blue Devils over Elwood, as Kennesaw had to withstand. They built a nice lead and had to withstand the comeback by the Pirates. And kind enough to join us is the head coach of the Kennesaw Blue Devils, Craig Snitzler. And we were starting to talk, first of all, first question in my mind is, how is your son? How is Austin?
We think he's okay. We just felt it was best for him that we sat him out. We'll check him tonight and tomorrow, and we'll just play things by ear. But he took a pretty good hit, and at that time, it was best, and the officials said the same thing. So,
concussion protocol is
right.
It appeared to us that he was a little woozy when it came up.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of those things you don't mess with. You guys were able to build a nice lead early on, really kind of controlled the game. But then when Austin went out, it was trying to find your sea legs again.
Yeah, things really seemed to change when he went down. We had, You know, like I talked to the kids after the game, nothing changed other than our eye back. We had to replace the eye back. But, boy, they just kept bringing people that second half, and we just didn't have an answer for as many as they were bringing on the snap of the ball. And we tried to do some passes, but we couldn't get people open fast enough because they were bringing more than we could block. And so we just felt we had to try to stay on the ground and keep that clock moving. And, you know, it was fortunate for us we hung on.
Coach, I'm going to ask you the same question that I asked Coach Mollberg, but from your perspective, walk us through. You've got a 21-point lead mid-late third going into the fourth. Walk us through the last 8 minutes of that game where Elwood is coming back. You've lost one. Now you've lost two major contributors on your team. Walk us through that last 8 minutes.
Yeah, it was kind of chaotic that last 8 minutes. You're looking back at the kids, you're trying to figure out, all right, we lost our linebacker, we've got that replacement taken care of, then our corner goes down, and you know, you're looking back there and you're looking at all freshmen and sophomores, and so we brought Tyson Burr in, who's a freshman, and he did a nice job. You know, I'm sure he was nervous, I'm sure he was scared out there. You know, he's put in a situation, but I was proud of him. You know, he stepped up, he made some plays. But, you know, the thing about that last 8 minutes was it seemed like one down every four plays. We'd have fourth down and 10, we'd have fourth down and 12, and we'd give up a big play. We'd give up the touchdown. And we just didn't answer that last play to get the ball back in on an offensive side. You know, I was very proud of the kids. We stopped their run when they tried to come at us. And we had them in fourth and long several times. We just didn't get a stop.
Talking with Craig Snitzler, head coach of the Kennesaw Blue Devils, after their 29-28 win over the Elwood Pirates. Randy Bushcutter and Brandon Bennett's with you here. You mentioned Tyson, and he's kind of one of the examples. Somebody has to step up. Here you got a kid that is a 135-pound freshman who comes up, recovers the onside kick, among other things, does that as well. Your other son, Preston, had a huge game tonight, though. He ended up rushing for, I had it, at 171 yards in the game on 23 carries. Obviously, in that second half, we relied on him a little bit more with Austin being hurt. talk about Preston's game and how everybody was able to kind of tighten ship a little bit, and then once you had all hands on deck, being able to survive this.
Right. Yeah, I thought he ran really hard tonight. He was tired. You know, we talked about it. You know, you're gonna carry us. We are gonna get the ball in your hands. We're gonna get lead blockers out in front of you and try to move the football that way. We just felt that was our best bet, and. You know, he had to be the workhorse that second half, especially that fourth quarter. And we had some nice plays. We just didn't finish them. We got a holding call and a good run around the corner. And that shut down, I think, our last drive, which would have allowed us to get a first down and really give us some momentum there. But, you know, he's a great athlete. His heart is as big as the world. And he just gives everything he's got on every play.
Coach, one of the things you talked about in your pregame interview is so often by the third and fourth quarter, you're playing mostly freshmen because your starters have built up a lead where you're bringing in a lot of those reserves. And in this case, that wasn't the case. We even talked about at halftime about this may not be the case and see which team has the most gas left. Do a conditioning program to be able to prepare your kids, even though they many times sit out third and fourth quarters, but in this case they had to play all the way to the end and won it by that one point.
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, we try to condition every day that we're out on the practice field. We take time afterwards. We push the sled around. We roll tires, turn tires up, big old tractor tires. We run the gassers, the wind sprints. You know, you do all those things, and until you really get into a game situation where you have to play at a high level on every down, it's just not there. And we did get gassed. We were tired tonight, and I think it showed because things that they were doing in the first half defensively, we were picking up and moving the football. And by the fourth quarter, we didn't have that success.
Talking with Craig Schnitzler as his Kennesaw Blue Devils win here in Elwood tonight, 29-28. Last question for you, Coach. You guys came in number 4 in the state in terms of wild card points. You know, once you divide the state in half, you're probably going to be a 2 seed or whatever, because you're going to get some extra points tonight from playing a good football team in Elwood, and obviously that momentum. What kind of impact does this game have for your team heading into state play next week?
Well, it gives us and certainly at home field advantage. And if we go to the east, we're going to be the 2nd seed. If we stay here in the west, we'll be a 3rd seed, which is big. You know, you want that first round game, an opponent that has to come to your place, and certainly feel like you should be better than they are. And, you know, so it gives us a good draw. We'll take what we can get right now. We just got to get healed up at this point with some kids and get ourselves ready to go next week.
2nd seed, 3rd seed, east, west, does it matter to you? Is there one you think's a better draw?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think there's great football on both sides. You know, there's some great teams on the east, and obviously Elwood is a great ball club right here, and they're going to make some noise here in the playoffs.
Craig, appreciate the time. Congratulations. Nice win tonight.
Thank you.
And best wishes. Hope your son heals very well.
Thank you.
Coach, well done.
Greg Schnitzler, the head football coach for the Kennesaw Blue Devils. 29-28 is the final in this one. A great football game, and the district championship is heading over to Kennesaw as they win what essentially was the district title game. Really, the schedule makers come up with a great way to end the regular season, and it couldn't have been a better game, 29-28. Final thoughts, Brandon.
One of our coaches during their interview talked about what fun it would have been to watch it from a spectator's point of view, and he was absolutely correct. What a privilege it was to watch this ball game. No matter what level you watch, you always want to see a good competitive ball game, and when you have a game that comes down to a final point, and in this case, a play with about 2.5 minutes left, maybe 2 minutes left, where you've got a 2-point conversion that either wins or loses you the game, you can't ask any more than that, then you leave it on the field. What a privilege it was to watch this game tonight, Randy.
It was an outstanding football game, and Brandon, appreciate you helping help us bring it out to everybody.
Thank you.
Brandon Bennett, I'm Randy Bushkar. Thanks so much for joining us. Don't forget that the CPI Mr. Tire scoreboard show is coming up, an abbreviated version, but they'll be going through all the scores, and we'll have some recaps of games from around the area as well. Once again, our final in this one, a great win for Kennesaw as they win it 29-28 over Elwood. That comeback falls just a little bit short for the Pirates. They'll still make the playoffs. They may very well host the first-round game, but Kennesaw will be either a 2 or a 3 seed after they come away with the district championship. I'm Randy Buschgutter. For our engineer, Stacy Johns, back in the studios, thanks for joining us. Don't forget that the scoreboard show is coming up next right here on Classic Hits 98.9 FM. Good night, everybody.
The proceeding has been a KXPN Sports production brought to you by the KXPN Sports Club. To download this podcast or any of our podcasts, go to our podcast link at ESPNSuperstation.com.
Athletes come in all shapes and sizes, and Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine specializes in getting them all back in their game. From swinging a hammer to swinging a golf club, whether tackling daily tasks or tackling the running back, see Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. If you're suffering from any injury that's putting you on the sidelines, make an appointment today and take comfort in our care. Kearney Orthopedic and Sports Medicine.
Do you have a passion for athletics? Are you a former high school?